Earlier today, we had an NXT matinee with Stand and Deliver. That was the appetizer for what was to come. Tonight, it was night one of what WWE has been promoting as the most stupendous, that's the word they've been using, the most stupendous WrestleMania of all time. Tonight was highlighted not by a championship match, Universal title match, WWE title match, women's title match. We had two of them on the show tonight. Tonight, the show was highlighted and was closed out by a KO show segment with Kevin Owens and his guest, Stone Cold Steve Austin. Kevin Owens has had to go on television now for weeks and promote a segment of WrestleMania, not even a match. He's had to go and promote a segment at WrestleMania without anybody to play off of on TV. Every single segment that we have seen him in, he has had to do by himself, which is not an easy thing to do. There were actually two people on the Monday Night Raw roster who had to do that. One was Kevin Owens and the other was Seth Rollins, and we'll get to him in a second. So we never got to see Stone Cold on television because it wouldn't have made any sense, of course. If he's just going to be there for an interview, why put him on Raw first? But it just felt like this was going to be something more. They couldn't promote this the way that they have unless this was going to be something more than just an interview and a stunner. Austin has been very hesitant to have a match. 19 years it has been since he wrestled The Rock at WrestleMania 19. Almost 20 years ago. There is the Mantar Super Chat. You guys are going nuts in the chat right now. Skull Dipper, thank you, sir. Scared the hell out of me. It's been a long time since we've seen Stone Cold in the ring. He's had countless opportunities to come back and wrestle. The biggest missed opportunity was CM Punk. It was a ready-made feud there. A decade ago, he didn't take it. Pretty convinced that Stone Cold just didn't want to come back. If he wanted to come back, he would have come back by now. Whatever it was that got him to agree to an actual match this time, what we got tonight was an actual match with Stone Cold Steve Austin. Stone Cold came back and wrestled tonight for the first time since 2003. There was a referee. There was a ring bell. He had the knee braces on. It was a match. No holds barred. They brawled all over the stadium. Austin out there, a little slower than we remember him being, but oddly enough, as slow as he looked at the beginning of this, he seemed to improve and get better as the match went on. And I have a theory about this. I think that the reason for that is all the beer that he was drinking. All that beer he kept drinking, can after can of his new American lager. I think the beer, it's like Popeye and his spinach. I think the beer actually gave him more energy. He looked better as the match went on. And it ended exactly the way that you thought it would, with a Stone Cold stunner, 1-2-3 in the middle of the ring. Stone Cold wrestled his first match in Dallas. And as far as we know, never say never, but tonight was very likely his last match, back where it all began. And it was a lot of fun. In fact, when I think back to this WrestleMania top to bottom, I'm going back to see what is the last WrestleMania that when it was over, I felt like I really enjoyed as much as this one. And I wouldn't put this one ahead of that one, but I think I would have to go all the way back to 2015. I think you have to go all the way back to the first Brock Lesnar-Roman Reigns match at WrestleMania 31 for a WrestleMania show that I thought was an excellent show overall. I'd probably put this one right behind that one. WrestleMania Night 1 probably surprised a lot of people. Stone Cold was not the only story on the show tonight. Of course, I did mention Seth Rollins, who has had no opponent. He's had to jump through hoops. He's had to wrestle other people to try to get spots on the WrestleMania card now for weeks. All the original ideas they had for him fell through. And Rodimus Prime says, fuck Bully Ray. Bully the Clown making an early appearance tonight here on the stream. Seth Rollins had no opponent coming into tonight. Vince McMahon said he would handpick his opponent for him. The worst kept secret in wrestling was the return of Cody Rhodes. And for the last 24 hours, everybody has been saying, well, maybe it's Undertaker. Undertaker at the Hall of Fame last night said, never say never. Undertaker could wrestle Seth Rollins or WrestleMania. Maybe it's going to be Bray Wyatt. Maybe it's going to be Shane McMahon. Maybe it's going to be this person and that person. It could only be one person. And that man was Cody Rhodes, who did make his WWE return tonight, complete with his entire AEW entrance. I don't think that there was a single thing WWE could have done differently tonight in terms of handling the return of Cody Rhodes. I applaud them. They did an excellent job. Cody got a superstar reaction in a building with almost 70. I know they claimed over 70, but we'll say 70,000 people. He was treated like a superstar and he came off like one. And he went out there and he had an excellent match with Seth Rollins with the right outcome. Cody goes over in his first match back. And Cody is going to be a much needed addition either to the Monday Night Raw roster or the SmackDown roster at a time when they need big names. He's coming in at exactly the right time, especially coming out of this WrestleMania show where they have to start a whole new crop of stories. Cody comes in, I think, at a very opportune time. They need stars. And Cody can be a star for them. But I think the way they handled his return tonight, pitch perfect. And I give a thumbs up, a hearty thumbs up to WWE. Not a single thing I would have changed about what they did tonight with Cody Rhodes. Man, maybe the neck tattoo, but it actually looked darker. Did you notice that, the neck tattoo? It looked like it was maybe colored in. It looked darker than the last time I saw it. I feel like that thing grows a little bit more. It grows bigger each time I see it. Said before, coming into the show, the two things I was looking most forward to were the Stone Cold angle, which turned into a match, and seeing Cody Rhodes back in the company and in the ring with Seth Rollins. On both of those things, WWE delivered tonight. They delivered on what I was looking forward to. And beyond that, when I look at some of the matches on the card, the women's championship match that stood out was the Raw women's title match between Becky Lynch and Bianca Belair, and we do have a new Raw women's champion. Those two women went out there and had an excellent match. Both women's title matches were very physical. Only one of them delivered, and that was the Raw women's title match. The SmackDown women's title match, not so much. And I think it's pretty clear, now that the show is in the history books, that WWE had only one decision to make as far as what to close out tonight's show with. I think it's safe to say they made the right choice in terms of closing out the show with Steve Austin. Because you know full well, had they put Austin on earlier in the show, there would have been people leaving that stadium in droves for Charlotte Flair and Ronda Rousey. It was the correct call to make. So we have a lot to get into here. There was actually one match that did not happen tonight, the New Day match against Sheamus and Ridge Holland. That match did not take place. And I get the sense that the people involved in that match aren't very happy about that, because I saw the tweet from Xavier Woods that went out a little after 11 o'clock at night, Eastern time, when it was very apparent that their match was not going to go on. And you can never tell over social media in terms of someone's tone, but I got the sense he was being a little facetious when he posted a poll that said, who do you think is going to win the match tonight? And he said, New Day or Sheamus and Ridge Holland, knowing full well their match was cut. I don't get the sense that any of them are very happy about that. But, you know, you got two nights of WrestleMania. They could always throw those guys on the pre-show tomorrow. It is very strange, though, when you have two nights of WrestleMania that you still have to cut matches for time. That is a little strange. Do me a favor here before we go on. Hey, Bills 4th, thank you for the sub. I want you to sub. If you are not subscribed to this channel, and I know we're going to have a lot of new viewers tonight, hit that sub button, hit that like button, because it helps the video out. All these things popping up on your screen. You heard something mooing at me before. Don't ask. Those are super chats. And if you want to send one in, if you want to support the channel, if you have a question, if you have a comment about tonight's pay-per-view, send a super chat in, because I'm going to read all of them. Later on in the stream, you'll see them popping up throughout the night. Of course, channel memberships are open as well. If you want to join, just hit that join button down below. One other order of business here before we go on. I know some people are also waiting to find out who the winners are in the Stone Cold Mania Championship Contest. Hey, Dallas Caballero just became a Sound Off Superstar. Thank you. But we are going to do a Wrestle Rumble contest a little bit later on. Entries closed earlier tonight. I am going to have the great fortune of picking four winners at random for those four belts that you see on your screen. Somebody, first place winner, is going to walk away with a Stone Cold Smoking Skull replica belt. And so that is something to look forward to a little bit later on in the night. We got an action-packed night here. Hey, Bofo. Bofo Duran just became a channel member as well, so I want to say thank you to him. So let's get into it here, because we do have a full show to get into. I actually want to begin with the pre-show, because on the pre-show they had Jake Paul, because of course his brother Logan Paul was on the card tonight. They were interviewing Jake Paul, and Jake was being a heel, or maybe that's just how he is in real life, I don't know. They had Jerry Lawler on the panel. And Jerry Lawler was siding with Jake Paul as they were talking about the tag team match against the Mysterios. And Jerry Lawler said that when Dominic Mysterio was born, the doctor gave his mother a ticket for littering. He was coming fast and furious with the one-liners, like he was getting them out of a joke book. But that wasn't even the worst joke that was told on the kickoff show. I cannot get away without mentioning this. So I sat through SmackDown last night, unfortunately, because I wanted to review the show and I wanted to watch, you know, what was going on, the WrestleMania edition of SmackDown. So last night on SmackDown, they had the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, and I watched Madcap Moss win the Andre Battle Royal. The Andre the Giant annual budget cuts Battle Royal was once again bumped to SmackDown. So poor Andre, being relegated to SmackDown, can't even make the WrestleMania card. Well, it appears that even Andre the Giant, the eighth wonder of the world, WWE Hall of Famer, even he is not immune to having his name changed. I want you to take a look at this on your screen right now. Once the super chat disappears there, Roman is a wank pheasant. Thank you, Fire Panda. But you'll see here in a moment here in that image. There it is. Take a look at that lower third there, underneath Madcap. And now Orange Cassidy. Look at that. You'll see when he stops blocking it. Look what it says there. Andrew the Giant. Andrew the Giant. He's the 2022 Andrew the Giant Battle Royal winner. Of course. Of course. Who among us doesn't remember Hulk Hogan slamming 700-pound Andrew the Giant at the Silver Dome at WrestleMania 3? I couldn't believe that. I thought it was a joke at first. Nope. Andrew the Giant. Unbelievable. Even poor Andre, not immune to having his name changed. Such is the state today in WWE. So WrestleMania itself opened with a video narrated by Marky Mark. Mark Wahlberg did the narration for the video. That was cool. Then they introduced the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders, who danced on stage to AC/DC's Thunderstruck. The WrestleMania stage, you know, it looked nice. It kind of reminded me a little bit of WrestleMania in Miami, actually, 10 years ago. Very similar type of stage. Nothing overly creative, you know, kind of giant screens and, you know, I don't know what else they would have done. I mean, it's in Dallas. What do? Do you have like a giant horse or something in the background? I don't know what you do. The set was fine. The attendance number they claimed was 77,899. I'm sure that sounds like a pretty ordinary WrestleMania exaggeration. I think they tend to exaggerate somewhere in the 10 to 15,000 range from whatever the real number is. Yeah, I've been following WrestleTix on Twitter, and he does a great job in terms of tracking tickets and stuff for people who are interested in that sort of thing. So I think the actual legitimate attendance was be somewhere between 62 and 65,000, which is still a lot of people. But the number they claimed was 77,000, almost 78,000. Hey, Jeff Harris, thank you for the sub. The SmackDown Tag Team Championship was on the line in the opening match, the Usos defending against Shinsuke Nakamura and Rick Boogs. Nakamura was caught in a chin lock, made the tag to Boogs, who went to work on both Usos. He did the delayed vertical suplex spot that we sometimes see him do on TV, where he'll very slowly dip down, he'll kneel down to one knee, hold the position, and then slowly rise up, because he's a strong dude. The guy is freakishly strong. He's like a power lifter. So, of course, he's a very strong man. So, we saw him do that spot. That went fine. That went perfectly fine. Nothing wrong there. Unfortunately, what happened next did not go as planned. He did another power spot. And the idea was that he would have both Usos on his shoulders. And he would stand up like in a Samoan drop position with both Usos on his back. He got them on his shoulders, and as he tried to stand up, his right leg buckled underneath him. It all came crashing down. And he dropped them. He immediately grabbed his knee. You could tell he was in pain. Now, at first, you know, it looked like maybe he was just selling. But became pretty apparent very quickly that this was no worked injury. He managed to drag himself over to Nakamura to make the tag, rolled out to the floor. Nakamura went for the Kinshasa. Jey Uso avoided it, tagged in his brother. You could hear for like almost a minute straight, you could hear Jimmy and Nakamura talking to each other in the ring. Like they were just trying to book this thing on the fly and figure out, okay, whatever they had planned is out the window. We got to get to the finish. We got to go home here. And that made it even more obvious that this was a legitimate injury. Jimmy hit the Uso splash, Nakamura kicked out, and then the Usos hit the 1D for the pinfall to retain the tag team titles. I'm sure they had to change the planned finish of the match due to the Boogs injury. I don't know if that means that there would have been a title change, but I'm sure whatever they had planned had to go out the window. This only went about 6 minutes. You know, it was a television match, nothing more. I don't really want to grade this because there was an injury. It fucked everything up, so it's not their fault. You know, things happen. As the Usos were leaving, you could see the medical staff. They were tending to Boogs on the floor. He had pulled down his knee pad. You could see the bruising. You could see bruising by his knee, which is never a good sign. And he literally had to be carried to the back. Could not put any weight on the leg at all. He was in pain. They carried him to the back. Michael Cole gave us an update later in the show. He said that Boogs suffered a torn quad and a patellar tendon injury he'll be needing surgery for, which I'm sure means a long layoff. I think for the torn quad alone, that's going to be a long layoff. So, you know, you hate to see anybody get hurt, but to get hurt in your WrestleMania debut, it just really sucks. So, unfortunately, not a great way to open the show tonight. We had Drew McIntyre against Happy Corbin. Let me put the some of the results here up on the screen for those who are just joining. We have a lot of people filing on in here. If you are just coming on in, hit that like button, sit back. Maybe you got one of those Stone Cold American lagers. I have the IPA. I had some of the Stone Cold IPA during the pay-per-view tonight. Very filling. I didn't drink the whole thing. I have to save some of it for night two. We have two nights of this shit, so I have to save some of it for tomorrow night. I will tell you, I did not drink as much beer as Stone Cold did tonight. I hope he is not driving himself back to the hotel. Well, I mean, he's not. He's living in, like, Nevada now, I think, right? I don't even think he's living in Texas anymore. Drew McIntyre against Happy Corbin. Michael Cole referenced the joke that Corbin cracked on SmackDown. Another wonderful thing you missed if you didn't watch SmackDown last night. All you people who are watching the Ring of Honor, Supercard of Honor, all you fools who decided to watch the Ring of Honor show instead of watching SmackDown, that awesome SmackDown show. Got my fingers crossed as I say that. He cracked a joke on TV last night about Drew's late mother by saying, before I even tell the joke, Michael Cole fucked up by saying that Corbin told the joke about McIntyre's wife. He did not tell a joke about McIntyre's wife. He said it about McIntyre's mother. So that's number one. But the sword, as you know, the sword that he carries around, he named it Angela after his late mother who passed away a few years ago from cancer. Corbin decided to tell a joke on the show last night. He asked, what does Drew McIntyre's sword and his mother have in common? The answer? He lost them both. So that was the joke that he told. So yeah, that was their way of trying to put some heat, last-minute heat, on this feud 24 hours before WrestleMania. Let's just throw a dead mom joke in there because this thing has no heat. We have to do something to get, you know, put some more heat on this, so we'll do that. That was their wonderful idea. So McIntyre takes the fight to Corbin right away as soon as the bell rings. Corbin got control for a little bit. Moss on the outside got a little over-enthusiastic. He was hopping up on the apron to celebrate because Corbin was in control here in this match. And this inadvertently distracted Corbin. Corbin's telling him, get down. Get down on the apron again. They've been teasing tension between these two. Moss has been making jokes that Corbin doesn't think are funny. We can see where things are headed between these two. In fact, it wouldn't shock me if the split happens on Friday. Corbin can blame Moss for distracting him, and that's the reason why he lost. And then that's it. Splitsville. So he tells him to get down. As soon as he turns around, he walks into a spine buster by Drew. McIntyre goes for the Future Shock DDT, but Corbin countered into the deep six for a near fall. McIntyre went up top and hit a diving clothesline. He was setting up for the Claymore. Moss pulled Corbin out to the floor. He pulled him out to safety. McIntyre said, well, fuck this. Hits the ropes and does a giant leaping dive out over the top rope onto both heels on the floor. He rolled Corbin back inside, gave Moss a belly-to-belly overhead suplex on the floor. I could live, frankly, without never seeing that ever again on the floor after what happened to Big E. Back in the ring, McIntyre went for the Claymore kick. Corbin ducked it, caught him with the End of Days, and Drew McIntyre became the very first person to kick out of the End of Days. Nobody's ever done it before. The End of Days and the Brogue Kick are the two most protected finishes in all of WWE. And for the first time tonight, somebody actually kicked out of the move. And look, I guess if you're going to save it, you save it for WrestleMania. Maybe I would have saved it for something a little more exciting than this feud. But nonetheless, he kicked out of the End of Days. Drew came back with the Future Shock and then set up for the Claymore, and this time it connected for the 1-2-3. This wasn't bad. This wasn't bad. It was not a bad match. Moss got up on the apron after McIntyre had his sword. He raised it up. Moss jumped down from the apron just in the nick of time. And McIntyre sliced through the two top ropes with the sword. He cut them right in half. The crowd was really into Drew in the final minutes of the match, which is great because they're going to be relying on him. Coming out of WrestleMania, Drew is the number one babyface on the entire SmackDown brand. They're going to be relying very heavily going forward on Drew McIntyre heading into the summer. So it's good that the crowd was into him here on this show tonight. But believe me, nobody is happier. Nobody is more happier than I am that this program appears to be over. Finally, over. We can move on from this. Maybe we won't even get Happy and Madcap anymore. Maybe we'll even get a character change for the two of them. We had Rey and Dominic Mysterio against The Miz and Logan Paul. And shout out to Winston Smith, dropping some Super Chat love here on the channel. Winston, thank you very much, sir. Thank you to the 3,300 almost we have so far in here with us tonight. Again, have a seat. It's going to be a while. We've got a lot to go through here. So let's talk about this Logan Paul match here for a second. Dominic came out dressed in red, white, and blue gear that was an homage to his real father, Eddie Guerrero. And what Eddie Guerrero wore, if you remember the When Worlds Collide show, AAA back in 94, him and Art Barr, Los Gringos Locos, so I thought that was cool. Logan Paul walked to the ring with what we were told was the rarest of Pokemon cards around his neck. He had a necklace, a chain around his neck, and on that chain was this supposedly rare Pokemon card. I am no Pokemon expert. Up until a few years ago, I was still calling it Pokemon. I was corrected. It's like when I used to call Super Mario Super Mario, and everybody yelled at me. So he had this Pokemon card around his neck that apparently it's a Pikachu Illustrator card. I don't know what that means. I don't know what the significance of that is. Not entirely sure. But apparently this card, if it's legit, Because there was some kind of controversy a while back where he got some kind of Pokemon card and it was a fake or whatever. And if it's the real thing, this stupid card could be worth up to $1 million. There was a similar card like this that apparently sold, I think at auction, for $900,000. So the idea that there is a Pokemon card that is potentially worth $1 million just depresses the shit out of me. But he had it around his neck as he walked down to the ring tonight. We saw Logan Paul in this match hit a running power slam to Dominic. He hit a blockbuster from the middle rope. He was hitting some impressive moves here and looking pretty good doing it. Dominic was in trouble, had to make a tag to Rey. He finally did. Rey Mysterio has got more gray in his beard than he used to. And yet, he is flying around this ring like he's 20 years younger than he is. The guy debuted, I think, in 1989. He's been doing this for over 30 years with knees like silly putty. It really is amazing what stem cell treatment can do. Because I know he went down to, I think, South America or Central America and had some stem cell treatment on his knees. And my God, this guy is like, he's like found the fountain of youth. I mean, he couldn't go 2 weeks 10 years ago without getting injured. And you look at him in that ring tonight and how fast he was moving, hitting all of his spots and everything. It's amazing. The guy is like a medical marvel. He caught Miz with a moonsault. Rey tried for the Three Amigos. Miz countered the third one, though, and posted him in the corner. Logan Paul got the tag, and Logan Paul, who got a ton of heat in this match. Logan Paul got more heat. I mean, the heat that this guy got. There are members of the Raw and SmackDown rosters who would kill to get the kind of heat that this guy had. He decided to do the Three Amigos himself, which got him even more heat. Then he did a kip-up. He headed up top. He did the little Eddie Guerrero shoulder shimmy thing that he does. And then he hit a frog splash. Had the match won. Dominic was a little late on breaking up the fall, so Rey had to get that shoulder up at the last second. Double 619 to Logan Paul. This is the spot they teased on television on Monday when Miz saved him. Miz took it instead. Tonight, Logan Paul ate the double 619. Dominic hit the frog splash. Rey followed with an immediate one right after Dominic did. Miz, though, had made a blind tag, which I didn't even notice, but Michael Cole, I think it was, or maybe it was Jimmy Smith. But one of the announcers made mention of the fact that Miz had made a blind tag. And so Miz came in, he hit the skull-crushing finale to Rey Mysterio, and he won the match. Miz and Logan Paul are your winners here at WrestleMania. And they embrace in the middle of the ring, and they raise each other's arms. All of a sudden, the expression on the Miz's face changes. He gets this very evil look on his face as he peers over at Logan Paul, and then he drops Logan Paul with a skull-crushing finale to a monster pop. Probably one of the biggest pops that Miz has ever had in his entire life. And Logan Paul looks up. He's like, what the hell just happened? What was that for? As Miz walked off. I hate to even say this. Logan Paul was really good. He really was. Logan Paul, look, if everybody is going to give Bad Bunny props for his match last year, Logan Paul looked every bit as good, if not better, than he did. Logan Paul looked good in this match tonight. My one critique, he basically no-sold the skull-crushing finale. I would have sold that shit for a little bit longer than he did, but honestly, outside of that, I have nothing negative to say about his performance here in this match. And kudos to Adam Pearce and Shane Helms, who, according to PW Insider, they're the ones who really worked with Logan Paul and, you know, trained him for this match and went over everything with him for this match, so he knew what to do and where to be and everything. So hats off to them to get him ready for this show. It's like I said in my predictions, I mentioned, if you remember, that they might be turning Logan Paul babyface. They might actually want to turn him babyface, and he has expressed an interest in doing more with WWE. This might not be a one and done for him. He might stick around. So if he does, I could see this being the beginning of a babyface turn. Even though Miz got cheered, he got cheered big time for attacking him here at the end of this match. I mean, look, the guy is a natural heel. You would think WWE understands that. That's why he was a heel going into WrestleMania. You know, it's like when they thought that Floyd Mayweather was going to be the babyface going into WrestleMania 24, and he came out on television every week and got booed. Why? Because he's a natural heel. And they had to change course a little bit for the match. They tend to misjudge these things sometimes. You know that you are a natural heel when you get The Miz loud, boisterous cheers. It takes a special kind of hated personality to get The Miz cheered the way he was tonight. But we'll see. We'll see where they go with this. I thought the match itself, though, was actually pretty fun. So they introduced Stephanie McMahon next, and I thought, oh boy, Slappy is here. She walked out onto the stage, and she didn't slap anybody tonight. But she walked out, and thankfully this was kept very short. She introduced the newest addition to the WWE roster, NCAA champion, Olympian, Gable Steveson, who walked out. He waved and walked to the back. And that was the last we saw of him for the rest of the night. Short, sweet. And again, Gable Steveson, he'll be on Monday Night Raw very soon. He was drafted to Raw last year in the draft. But they wanted him, he was going to finish the semester or whatever. So he should be starting up on Monday Night Raw in the next couple of months. He will be full-time on the Raw roster very soon. We have Becky Lynch up next against Bianca Belair for the Raw Women's Championship. Ed Weber says it was a waste of a segment. Well, again, it was kept short. That's why it didn't bother me. That segment was kept very short, so it doesn't bother me. If they keep it to 2 minutes and under, I'm okay with it. It's the ones that drag on that I have an issue with. Shout out to Rizzo for the creepy Jeff Hardy $20 super chat. Thank you, sir. And I'll be reading all your messages a little bit later. So Becky, who talked some shit to Ariel Helwani a few days ago. I don't know how many of you saw that interview. She sat down with Ariel Helwani, as did Charlotte Flair too. But in her interview, Becky said that it didn't matter to her if Charlotte and Ronda were going to go on after her and Bianca, because she knew that her match was the real main event of WrestleMania. She said, absolutely under no circumstances is anybody going to go out there at WrestleMania and have a better match than me. She was really talking herself up here. And she said that if Charlotte and Ronda do go on last, it's more of a token gesture because Ronda is back and it's her first big match back. And so I said, well, let's see what happens. We'll go to WrestleMania and we'll see. When the night is over, who had the better match? And who had the best match on the entire show? And as I sit here now, I can tell you that Becky Lynch and Bianca Belair, if they didn't have the best match of the night, they had one of the two best matches on the entire show. So Becky Lynch talked that shit, but she backed it up. And Becky, look, Becky can be a little sloppy in the ring sometimes. Becky is not the smoothest wrestler in WWE, not by a long shot. But just because she isn't the most fluid or the smoothest in the ring doesn't mean that she can't have great matches. And we know Bianca Belair is the real deal. I've been a big fan of Bianca for a long time. There's a reason why Bianca Belair, when she was called up to the main roster, she won the SmackDown Women's Championship to close out last year's WrestleMania. And now in her second WrestleMania, she won the other title. Because they also see big things for Bianca Belair. They see Bianca Belair the way that I also see Rhea Ripley. I see both of them as two women that you can build each of your women's divisions around. So you put those two in the ring together. They've had a story that goes back all the way to SummerSlam and the 26-second embarrassment when Becky came back because Sasha Banks had to pull out of her match, took the championship away from Bianca in 26 seconds, and Bianca now has worked her way back to the championship match. Becky was driven out onto the stage in a white Cadillac Escalade. She's back to the super dark red hair that she had years ago when she was a babyface. And her hair's a little shorter. She's got a new do after Bianca cut some of it off on TV last Monday. Bianca got a live marching band entrance. They played her theme music. And then after that, they played her actual music. And then she came out to make her entrance for the match. They tried to shock the crowd into thinking that they were getting a SummerSlam replay by having Becky hit the manhandle slam in the first 30 seconds and trying to get the pin. Bianca, though, she kicked out at the last possible second. So that was actually a great near fall. Becky tried for a moonsault. Bianca rolled out of the way. Lynch crashed and burned. Bianca locked on Becky's own disarm her submission, but Becky got out of it. They ended up on the floor. And Becky shoved her into the ring steps and then hit three of her Bexploder suplexes in the ring. She got Bianca draped over the top rope, went up top for that jumping, draping leg drop that we see Nyla Rose do on AEW television whenever she's in the ring. And Bianca landed right on top of her on the way down. So as she hit her with the leg drop, and Becky's on the mat, Bianca just fell right on top of her. There was a spot where Bianca climbed up to the top rope. Becky cut her off. And Bianca lifted Becky up on her shoulders while she was standing on the middle rope. And then she just dropped her straight down onto the top turnbuckle. Then Belair followed that up with a 450 splash from the middle rope. Only got a near fall out of it. Becky then hit a rolling thunder kick from the top rope. And her heel caught Bianca right in the eye. It looked pretty gnarly. I mean, it looked like she, and the replay even showed, she connected flush right by the, like, the eye socket and kicked her on the way down. That did not look like it would have been very fun to take. And by the end of this match, her eye looked completely fucked up. Bianca's eye, Bianca, you know what Bianca reminded me of? Like, with the eye and everything and how deformed it kind of looked when this match was over from all the swelling. She reminded me of Sloth. Like, her eye reminded me of Sloth from the Goonies. That's what that reminded me of. Belair recovered, went for the KOD. Becky held on to the top rope, though, wouldn't let go. She had a vice grip on that rope. Belair gave her the KOD to the floor. She just dumped her out over the top rope, and Becky crashed to the floor down below. Becky recovered and yanked Belair into the ring post by her braid, pulled her right into it. And Becky gave her a manhandle slam on the flat part of the ring steps. She was nearly counted out, made it back into the ring before the count of 10. Bianca could barely get to her feet. Becky went for the manhandle slam from the middle rope, but Belair avoided it with a backflip, then hit the KOD and got the 1, 2, 3, and Bianca Belair wins the women's championship, gets a huge reaction. The place loved the finish. They popped big when she won the title. This was a great match. This was the first great match of the night because the early part of this card felt, frankly, it felt like a lot of those early WrestleMania cards where they put a lot of matches on the show. You go back and watch. I mean, look, some of us grew up in that era, the golden era, the early WrestleManias, WrestleMania 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You go back and you watch those WrestleManias, as fondly as a lot of us remember some of them being, there was a lot of filler on the undercard. So it's not some kind of new concept that you have filler matches on WrestleMania. But when you're sitting here and you see one after the other, I mean, that really, after a while, you know, it gets kind of dull and you're just kind of looking at your watch going, all right, let's get some stars out here. Yeah, we had the Usos, and okay, they're part of the top faction on SmackDown, but this is not really a big match. And then you see fucking Happy Corbin, and then you see Logan Paul, and it's like, when are we going to get the big names? When are we going to get some of the stars on the show? This match is where things really kicked it up. I thought this was the first truly great match on this WrestleMania card, and it had the correct finish, because after being embarrassed last year at SummerSlam, there could be no other finish other than Bianca getting her belt back and getting her revenge on Becky. Becky Lynch has not lost. It's been years since she has lost. Every year, every day of every year that Becky has been active since WrestleMania 35, she has held a title, whether it's the Raw Women's title or whether it's the SmackDown Women's title. So that's the other part of this, is that Bianca becomes the first woman to basically end the streak, if you will, and hand Becky Lynch her first loss in a very long time. And she celebrated like it was a really big deal, so it was a good moment. But again, her eye was freakishly swollen. Hopefully it's just one of those things, swelling will go away in a few days, nothing is damaged or, you know, broken or anything like that, because it was a nasty shot that she took to the eye. Then it was time. Seth Rollins The man without a match at WrestleMania finally gets on the WrestleMania card. He's been trying and trying and trying. He's been begging, and Vince McMahon says, I'm going to have a hand-picked opponent for you. I won't tell you who it is until you're standing in the ring. You're not going to find out who your opponent is going to be. And it's been the worst-kept secret in wrestling about who it was going to be, but there was still the seed of doubt. Maybe WWE's, look, they haven't announced anything, right? It's all the fans online that have been running rampant with all this speculation about Cody Rhodes. Maybe they are going to send The Undertaker out there. Maybe they're going to send somebody else out there and then put Cody on Raw Monday night, right? It's possible. But I think we all knew who was going to come out. The bigger question wasn't so much who's going to come out. The bigger question is, what would he look like? What's his gear going to look like? Are they going to give him new music? Like, how is he going to be presented? That was the bigger thing I was curious about. Because my impression was that Cody owns the rights to his AEW theme music. So I said, I want to see what kind of Cody Rhodes we get when he walks out. Does WWE just pretend that AEW doesn't exist and completely blow it up and put their little stamp on it? What are they going to do here? The lights went out. For a brief moment, I did fear that it would be The Undertaker, which, while the crowd would have been very happy to see him, that would have been awful. Lights go out, and they milked this. They milked. And then we hear the words of the man himself. Very familiar words from his entrance elsewhere. We hear the words, wrestling has more than one royal family. And the music hits. And son of a bitch, I'll be damned. They kept the exact same entrance that he had in AEW. It was the same entrance, the same opening, the same downstate song that he came out to, Kingdom. It was, everything. Rising up from the stage, the way that he did in AEW. The American Nightmare nickname. They even had one of those stupid 3D logos they superimpose on the screen. It was the tattoo. It was the skull logo that we see on the side of his neck. They kept the exact same presentation that Cody had in AEW. Which is exactly the way that it should have been handled in the first place. I was shocked. They did the right thing. They didn't change anything about it. They didn't put their own little spin on it. Remember when Sting debuted finally in WWE, right? You don't have to do much. It's Sting. You just send him out there. You let people know it's Sting. They know who it is. He's a big name, right? They couldn't leave well enough alone. When he debuted, he wasn't just Sting. He was the Vigilante because they had to put their little fucking mark on it. So Sting became the Vigilante Sting. Like he's fucking Charles Bronson in Death Wish or something. We didn't get the Vigilante Cody Rhodes here on this show. We got the American Nightmare and it was fantastic. He got a huge reaction coming out. Big, big ovation for Cody. It really, it's as if he walked out of a portal from Jacksonville to Dallas. He stepped through from an AEW ring right into a WWE ring. It was fucking spot on, and I give WWE a lot of credit for doing the right thing here. This was Cody's first WrestleMania since the last WrestleMania in this exact same stadium. They were in AT&T Stadium for WrestleMania 32. Stardust was in the ladder match for the Intercontinental title that Zack Ryder won. That was his last appearance at WrestleMania. And so here we are all these years later, back in the same building, back in Dallas, Texas. Early in the match, which took a while to get started because Cody got a huge standing ovation. And finally, they settled down and the match began. And early in the match, Cody did a little cartwheel and he did the whole, he used to do that Stardust hand gesture. He did that. Everybody popped. And Corey Graves said that it was Cody shedding his old skin. Rollins worked over his ribs early on. At one point, he shouted at Cody. He said, "Welcome back to the big leagues, bitch." Cody came back with a snap power slam. And he clotheslined Rollins out to the floor and then hit a tope through the middle rope that sent Rollins hurling backwards over the announce desk. There was a little bit of a botch here at one point. Cody tried to do a step-up kick, like a disaster kick, off the ring steps. And the idea was that Seth would catch him in a powerbomb position. And he kind of dropped him a little bit, and then so they, you know, kind of gathered themselves, and he picked him up, and then he gave him a buckle bomb into the barricade. So Cody was laid out. Rollins put him back in the ring and then hit a springboard knee to the side of the head, followed that up with a running Falcon Arrow into a pinning attempt. Only got two. Hey, Devin Garcia, thank you for the $25 Hardy Monster super chat. I appreciate it. I saw that out of the corner of my eye there. So the running Falcon Arrow only gets two. There were two curb stomp attempts by Rollins that both missed. Cody tried for the crossroads. Rollins slipped out. Cody hooked him again. This one connected. He went for the pin. And Seth Rollins kicked out of the crossroads. And I wrote here in my notes, I said, killing his finish on day one. His very first match back in the company. Already killing this guy's finish. Cody went up for a moonsault attempt. Rollins crotched him. And Rollins jumped up and delivered an inverted superplex. But rolled through, had him in the same position, like a dragon sleeper position, picked him up, and hit the old Gold Dust final cut slam. Went for the pin. Cody kicked out. Cody avoided a Phoenix splash. Rollins rolled through, though. Rollins went for the pedigree. Cody escaped. And Cody set up for the pedigree of his own, and the fans popped when they thought he was actually going to hit the pedigree. Instead, though, he hit a power bomb. Actually, it was more like a tiger drive. And Cody then hit a springboard Cody Cutter off the ropes, hooked the leg, and Rollins kicked out again. He was kicking out of all of Cody's shit here in this match. Rollins comes back with a pedigree, but Cody kicks out of a pedigree. I will tell you that they sold me for a moment there that that was going to be the finish. As the match was going along, I started to doubt whether or not Cody was actually going to win this match. And I thought back to when AJ Styles had his first WrestleMania match against Chris Jericho and he lost. And it's not like they haven't done stuff like that before. It would have been very believable to think that Cody would lose this match. And they would just chalk it up to the fact that, well, you're first night in, you're coming in, you're facing one of our top guys, and we're going to humble you by putting our guy over you. But that spot right there is what had me a little worried there, because I didn't know if that was being done as sort of a little tribute to Triple H, and if so, maybe they wouldn't want anybody kicking out of it, but Cody did kick out of the pedigree. But seriously, holy shit. Can you imagine if Cody lost to the pedigree, the fucking meltdown certain people would have online? Holy shit. As it is, I saw people on social media who probably were the biggest Cody Rhodes fans in the world when he was in AEW. There were a lot of AEW fans that I did see, not all of them, but a lot of them that I saw on social media tonight, who were shitting all over this Cody Rhodes WWE return because they feel it's like they take it personally and they feel, you know, betrayed by him going back to, you know, the evil empire or something like that. You would think they'd be happy for the guy, right? A big successful return tonight. They were a fan of his there. Why wouldn't they be a fan of his here? But man, it's like a fucking team sport. It's kind of shocked, frankly, by how much hate I saw online for him. Hey, Paolo, just became a Sound Off Superstar channel member. Welcome to the channel, my friend. Happy to have you. That's right. Philly Sports in the chat says, now all of the AEW fans are chanting, Cody sucks. Well, not all of them, to be fair. It's a vocal minority, but it was very noticeable. So they traded right hands in the middle of the ring. They did the yay boo spot. People were cheering for Cody and booing Rollins. Rollins yelled that this is his company. He clubbed Cody in the back of the head with a forearm. Cody recovered, though, hit two crossroads. He went for a third one, and he stopped. Did a little tribute to his father instead. He did the Dusty Rhodes, I don't know what you would call it, the Dusty Shuffle, whatever you would call it. And then he hit the Bionic Elbow, looked up at the sky, and then delivered a third crossroads for the win. Huge pot Cody Rhodes getting the three count on Seth Rollins, and a huge reaction really for the final sequence of moves. The people were really, especially down the stretch, the people really were very, very much into this, very much alive for this. And look, you never know what kind of reaction you're going to get when you have somebody from the outside, from another company, coming in, facing your guy. I just talked about this tribalism, and it's not just an AEW thing. WWE fans are every bit as bad. There's this tribalism that's out there. It's as bad as I've ever seen it. And it's like a team sport. Cody could have gone to WrestleMania tonight and been booed out of the building. Like, after the initial pop died down, they did the yay boo spot. They could have been cheering Seth and booing Cody. You never know how these things are going to go. So the reaction that he got tonight was perfect. They have to be very happy, I think, with how this ended up. And when it was over, I thought, well, AEW beat WWE. Cody Rhodes went to WrestleMania and he beat them. He beat Seth Rollins at WrestleMania. AEW beat WWE here at WrestleMania. I kid. This was an excellent match. This was an excellent match, and I have to hand it to WWE. I don't know if it's going to last. It's all in the follow-up. This was one night. I'm a little worried about night two and three and four, so we'll see where they go with this, but for one night, they got it right with Cody Rhodes, and they absolutely nailed it. They absolutely nailed it from the entrance and the presentation to him going over in the end, which easily could have gone the other way, believe me. They did good. They got it right. And Cody could give Raw or SmackDown. My guess would be Raw. But Cody could give Raw or SmackDown right now. He is going to give them a much-needed upper-card talent, a much needed shot in the arm in terms of that upper card scene on either of those shows at a time when they desperately need more stars on those shows. He's going to be somebody they can immediately plug in there. I'm not saying into a title match right away, but they can plug him in there immediately. And if they play their cards right, he could be a difference maker for them on that show in terms of just making things a little more interesting. The one thing I'll say, even though Cody was getting booed on AEW television every week and people were booing him and they were booing his wife, it honestly was one of the more interesting parts of the show. Is Cody going to finally turn heel? He's resisting the heel turn. Why isn't he turning heel? Why does Cody not want to turn heel? Or why does Tony Khan not want Cody to turn heel? And then he would go out there and get these like John Cena mixed reactions. And it was honestly one of the more interesting parts of Dynamite every week. But he was still going out there and having some really good matches. The last match he had in AEW was the ladder match for the TNT title against Sammy Guevara, and that was a great match. He went out of AEW on a high note. He came back to WWE on a high note. So Cody is on cloud nine right now. But the key is in the follow-up. It's all in how they follow up on this. But I have said this before, and I will say it again. If you want somebody to come across like a major star, you need to treat them like a major star. Even if you are somebody who does not think that Cody Rhodes is a world champion in WWE, he's not world champion material, he's mid-carder, upper mid-carder at bet, whatever your opinion and your thoughts are of Cody Rhodes, you are entitled to that opinion. What I'm telling you is that, even if you believe that, if WWE believes that he's a main eventer and they want you to believe that he's a main eventer, the power is in their hands. It's all in the booking. If they book him strong and they give him television time and they program him with the right people, he will get over as a major star. And that's something they could definitely use right now. I would put a mic in his hand first thing on Monday night. I wouldn't waste any time. When the show goes on the air Monday night, I play that music. I have him rise from the fucking ground and I put a live mic in his hand and I let him go out there and talk. It's the Raw after WrestleMania. You want to give the people something different. You want to give the people something interesting to look forward to. That's one of the things that you can do on Raw Monday night. They already have Veer. Veer is coming on Monday night. Veer Mahan is finally going to make his debut on Raw, or his return on Raw Monday night. Right? He's been coming for so long, he can wait an extra hour to come. You put Cody Rhodes out there when Raw goes on the air Monday night. Next up, they introduced all of the Hall of Famers from last night. Undertaker, of course, got the lion's share of time here. They gave him the full entrance. And he walked out there. He was soaking up the crowd reaction. The sustained ovation that Roman got at the Hall of Fame, or Undertaker, I'm sorry. Did I say Undertaker? I saw someone mention Roman in the chat. You got me all confused here. The sustained ovation that Undertaker got at the Hall of Fame on Friday night, which I did finally see earlier this morning, I went back and I watched it, was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. I've seen some sustained ovations before. Hulk Hogan has milked plenty of them in his day, and the people love him, especially when he's up there in Toronto or Montreal. The Canadians loved Hulk Hogan. Maybe they still do. But the reception that he got at the Hall of Fame was very special. And when he came out at WrestleMania tonight, now you have multiples more people in the crowd. And so it was magnified by that much, and they gave him a very similar reaction tonight. He came out, he was not in his gear, he was not in his hat, he was in a tux and a black tie, or not a tux, but like a suit and a black tie. He walked out on stage, he walked to one end and acknowledged the crowd, he walked to the other end of the stage and acknowledged the crowd, and he got a tremendous response here in Texas. A well-deserved response for someone who has been more loyal to this company and to Vince McMahon than, frankly, he probably had to be, probably should have been. But he got a great reaction from the people in the building. And then we had the SmackDown Women's Championship match, Charlotte Flair defending against Rowdy Ronda Rousey. So we were about to find out who was going to have the better women's title match on this show. Becky Lynch already called her shot. Would Charlotte Flair and Ronda Rousey go out there and top them? A few minutes in, Flair speared Rousey out of nowhere, covered her for a near fall. Ronda kicked out. It's worth noting that when they did the ring introductions for this match, both women got booed. Ronda got booed and Charlotte got booed, which is never a good sign. Charlotte went up top, of course. The back of my fucking hand, I knew this was going to come. Charlotte goes up top for the double jump moonsault that always looks like shit. This was no different. She completely missed Ronda on the standing moonsault. So she comes off the top rope, lands on her feet. It's the Andrade double jump moonsault. She lands, she goes for the standing moonsault, and she completely missed it. Looked absolutely terrible. And my new favorite pastime, I will say, in WWE, is waiting to find out what the announcers, in this case, Michael Cole and Pat McAfee, who tried to explain that, you know, Ronda rolled out of position at the last moment. It's my new favorite pastime. The WWE announcers twisting themselves in pretzels, trying to explain why Charlotte Flair didn't get all of it. Why Charlotte Flair missed her moonsault. Why this didn't look so good. Oh, I don't know if she got all of it. You would think that after, I don't know, the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth time that this happens, maybe she would abandon ship on the move and just not do it anymore. Find something else that looks good. No, she insists on continuing to do it. And look, if you think that it's not Charlotte's fault, that it's her opponent's fault, her opponents are always out of position, then still, the same logic applies. Don't do the fucking move. Because clearly, you and your opponent are not on the same page here. But she insists on continuing to do this move, like it's in her fucking contract or something. But honestly, it's become a rather fun exercise for me to see what explanation, what excuse the announcers are going to come up with this time. Oh, Charlotte, she saw a friend of hers in the crowd and she was distracted. Oh, there was a banana peel on the floor when she first landed on her feet. Before she did the second moonsault, she kind of slipped a little bit. You know, Donkey Kong left the fucking banana peel on the floor and she almost slipped. It's ridiculous. Charlotte got Ronda in a lion tamer in the ropes, and then Ronda basically sat up and was staring her right in the face, and Ronda took her off the top with a judo throw. Ronda hit Piper's pit, which is her finish, or one of her finishes anyway, and then went for the armbar, but Charlotte slipped out before she could lock it on. Charlotte then took her down with a big boot to the face. Ronda went for Piper's pit again, but Charlotte slipped out, and Ronda got the ankle lock on that she learned from her good friend Kurt Angle, who she teamed with in her debut at WrestleMania 34. That was an excellent match. That was a great match. You want to see a great Ronda Rousey match, you go back and watch their match at WrestleMania 34, her and Kurt Angle against Triple H and Stephanie. Coincidentally, it was also Triple H's last great match. Although Charlotte and Ronda actually had an excellent match at Survivor Series a few years ago. It's not like these two haven't worked together before. These two have gone out there before one-on-one and actually had a great match. This was not one of them. Ronda got the ankle lock, though, and Charlotte reversed out of it with one of her own. Ronda escaped. Charlotte went headfirst into the bottom turnbuckle. Ronda got the ankle lock applied again, but this time she dropped down and she got a leg bar. She put the leg vine. So she had her trapped. You would think Charlotte now has nowhere to go. But she was able, she got those long legs, and she was able to kick her way out of the hold. Charlotte got the figure eight applied, and they blacked out the screen. Now, I'm assuming my screen blacked out. I can hear the commentary. But my screen turned black. I can only imagine because somebody got exposed. I don't know if it was a nipple. I don't know if it was the nether regions. Whatever it was, I guess they didn't want us to see it. Because my screen was black for like 10 seconds. I don't know what fell out. I don't know. Whatever it was, though, finally my screen came back. Maybe it was just me, but then my screen came back on all of a sudden. Ronda managed to escape, though, the figure eight, and she squirmed out to the floor. Charlotte gave her an exploder into the barricade. The people really just, at this point, they were very quiet. They really didn't seem to care about any of this. Back in the ring, Ronda delivered another Piper's pit, but they were in the ropes. She went for the cover. Charlotte got her foot on the bottom rope, and Charles Robinson counted three. As soon as he counted three, he immediately waved it off and said, no, 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 because he saw the foot on the bottom rope. So he counted it. But before he could call for the bell or anything, he says, nope, and he waved it off. I wasn't sure if it was a botch or not at first, but then I don't believe it was. It's as the match went on, it became clear that this is part of a storyline coming out of this match. So he waved it off. Charlotte hit the natural selection while Ronda was distracted arguing with Robinson over what just happened. She thought she won the match. She gets caught with natural selection. And goes for the pin, does Charlotte. Ronda kicked out. So the figure eight didn't work. The natural selection didn't work. Obviously, her moonsault never fucking works. So now Charlotte is getting very frustrated. She doesn't know what to do here. Charlotte goes for the spear. But by accident, she speared the referee. And down goes Lil Nate. Down goes Charles Robinson. Ronda got the armbar applied, and of course, now there's no referee, and so Charlotte is immediately tapping out. She's feverishly tapping out here. Referee didn't see it because he was down. She lets go of the hole. She goes to check on the referee. Charlotte then catches her with a boot to the jaw, right on the side of the face. Boom! Kicked her right in the jaw and covered her for the 1-2-3. And just like that, Charlotte Flair retains the SmackDown Women's Championship. And when the match was over, you know, again, it got like a kind of a tepid reaction. But the story coming out of this match is that Ronda Rousey now can claim that she had the match won twice and got screwed. And clearly that is going to be the story. That is going to be the premise for at least one rematch between these two, because obviously this issue between them is not over yet. This is going to continue. They do have a pay-per-view, by the way. The next pay-per-view is called WrestleMania Backlash. So you know we're going to have like the night of fucking rematches on that show. The thing I'll say about this match, Ronda was all bruised up. She was all red, welts all over her body. She looked like she took a beating in this match. This was a physical match, but it wasn't a very good one. And actually, I thought it was a disappointment when I think back to the last match they had. This did not live up to the expectations of what I, you know, have seen them do in the ring together before. I thought this was disappointing. The crowd seemed bored by most of it also, but apparently there was a huge fight that broke out in the crowd during their match, And so for at least part of the match, that might have been why the crowd sounded quiet and distracted. But again, that doesn't account for the entire match. I've been telling you people for weeks that the build to this match has been underwhelming. They're going to put this on as the main event of WrestleMania to close out the show. No, they're not. Not with this build. These Ronda Rousey promos every week. These horrible promos. These horrible wooden promos on TV. This never felt like a WrestleMania main event. This did not deserve to go on in the final match, in the final spot at WrestleMania, even though Ronda won the Royal Rumble, and technically she's supposed to get the main event. It never felt like the main event of WrestleMania. The build was very lackluster. The one thing I said is, well, even though the build was lackluster, they can go out there and have a great match. They did not go out there and have a great match. And people didn't seem to have a whole lot of interest in it either, which probably shouldn't be surprising based on how the storyline has gone on TV. So of the two women's title matches on this show, the Raw women's title match easily wins out the night. I said before, can you imagine if they put that final Stone Cold segment on earlier and did close out the show with this? Half that building would have been gone. Quick, let's get to the parking lot so we can get out of this place. There was no way you could put that match on after Austin as the main event. There's no way. Speaking of which, they closed night one of WrestleMania with the KO show, with Kevin Owens and his special guest, Stone Cold Steve Austin. They had two announcers' chairs in the ring, KO show signs in each corner. Very low-rent setup, by the way. I do miss the days of actual talk shows. The Heartbreak Hotel had a nice little set, had that little bed, right? Piper's Pit, the Snake Pit, the Barber Shop, the Funeral Parlor. Now, you just go in the ring, you take like a little cardboard. It's like something you'd see at like a little fucking indie show in front of 50 people. We'll put a little cardboard sign in the corner. KO show. Put a chair in the ring. I don't think you could possibly put less effort into these talk show segments that they have now on WWE television. At least try to have some creativity with it. Didn't Carlito's Cabana, didn't they at least have like a fucking hammock or something in the ring for his show? Shout out to Andrew Jorlog dropping the 1992 Ric Flair Royal Rumble Super Chat. That's right. MVP's VIP lounge. Even that looked like they at least tried. Anyway, they had the announced chairs in the ring. He threatened to give Stone Cold a stunner. Of course, again, he was milking it before Austin came out. He goes, I know all you people are waiting for a certain someone to come out, but he's not coming out here until I say it's time for him to come out here. And he called Austin. He said he was going to give him a stunner. He was going to pour a beer on his stupid bald head. And then we had the glass shatter and we got the monster pop. And this was the moment that I was most looking forward to here on this show. Steve. And the shout out to Steve Mello, by the way, with the Andrew the Giant. That's right, Andrew. We had a super chat just now from Andrew. Good old Andrew the Giant dropping some super chat love. I still can't get over that. What a slap in the face. Kevin Dunn, what are you doing? Andrew the Giant. Reminds me of that one time on SmackDown, Bayley was in the ring doing one of her Ding Dong Hello talk show segments. There's another one, by the way, Ding Dong Hello. And the little lower third on the bottom of the screen, when they flashed it to put her name up there, it said Bayley, and it said WWE Champion. I was like, really? I must have missed a few weeks of television here, because I wasn't aware that Bayley had won the WWE title. So the glass shatters, and here comes Stone Cold Steve Austin. In Texas, at WrestleMania, with tens of thousands of people just waiting because they haven't seen him on television, right? They've been building and building and building and building this now for weeks. He comes out. He's looking thinner, You could see he's obviously, I mean, look, he's 20 years older than the last time we saw him in the ring. Almost 60 years old. So he has, especially in the face, he slimmed down a little bit, but otherwise he looked to be in pretty pretty good shape. He was wearing the old classic black Austin 316 t-shirt. He had the jean shorts on. He had both knee braces on. He had the boots on. He comes out. He goes to each end of the stage. He's soaking up all the cheers, getting the monster pops. Stone Cold and The Undertaker getting the monster pops here on the show. It's like the Attitude Era lives on. Then he walks to the other end of the stage, soaks up the crowd reaction. He goes to walk down the ramp, and he stops himself, and he has second thoughts. And he walks to the back. And Kevin Owens is in the ring laughing. He's like, look at this guy. He decided to leave. He's too scared to come down here and confront me. Then Austin comes riding back out on stage in his ATV. Remember Sheriff Austin from all those years ago? Sheriff Austin was back. And he rode the ATV down to the ring, got into the ring, hit a couple of corners, did the Stone Cold pose. He threw away the Kevin Owens show signs because they were blocking him from standing on the turnbuckle in the corner. Before he could stand on that fourth and final turnbuckle, Owens committed the most egregious of sins. He said, cut the music, and he stopped Stone Cold dead in his tracks during his entrance. You don't interrupt a Stone Cold Steve Austin entrance. People paid their good money to see Stone Cold pose on the ropes and shake his head and do all the Stone Cold shit that Stone Cold does. So, of course, that got him more heat. And he told Austin to sit down, take a seat, which Austin did. Austin then insulted his stupid haircut. He said that he looks like a jackass. Then he called him a stupid son of a bitch for running down the great state of Texas. Owens insulted Texas some more and the people with their stupid hats and their stupid boots and their stupid belt buckles. He says he feels for Steve, though. He feels for Austin because if he grew up in Texas, he would have moved to Mexico. He says it's right there. Just go down south. Austin said in a few seconds, you're going to have 75,000 people calling you an asshole. Then came the asshole chants. Owens told him not to be like that. He goes, you should be more like me. I'm a distinguished French Canadian. And then he said, look, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. I didn't invite you here to interview you. I didn't invite you here really to be on the KO show. I had to find a way to get you here. But the reason I got you here is because I want to fight you. And he said he wants him in a match. He doesn't want to talk. Crowd cheered. He said he brought him out here to challenge him to a match. But not just any match. He goes, he wants him in a no-holds-barred match. And the entire crowd erupted into yes chants. You had 70,000 or so people in this building putting their fingers up in the air, chanting yes. As dead as they sounded for the match that came before this, it's almost as if somebody roofied their drink and they went out like a light. And then 20 minutes later, when the glass shattered, it woke them up. All of a sudden, and they were conscious again. And they're throwing their fucking fingers up in the air. They were awoken from their slumber from the previous match. He said if Austin isn't going to accept his check, because Austin was sitting there for a long time, just kind of looking around, and he didn't say anything. And Owen said, look, if you're not going to accept my challenge, then get back on your little golf cart and drive back to your stupid ranch. And Austin said that he had his first match right here in Dallas, Texas. He said, I could have my last match right here in Dallas, Texas. He goes, if you want Stone Cold to compete here tonight against this sack of shit, give me a hell yeah. And the crowd chanted, hell yeah. And Austin said, bring me down a goddamn referee. He said, bring me down, and then he stopped himself. He goes, bring a ref. And here comes, I think, Rod Zapata, I think is his name. Here comes the referee. Holy fucking self-tanner, by the way. He comes running down to the ring. So here we are. right? We knew there was a possibility that this might happen. But I said when all of this bullshit started and all of the Austin rumors started, I said, I still can't wrap my head around the idea that Austin would agree to come back and have a match. And until I see him standing in the ring in his gear, in his boots, with his knee braces, and I see a referee and I hear a bell, I'm not going to believe it. And here's Austin in his boots, in his knee braces, in the ring with a referee, and the referee calls for the bell. Well, first of all, Austin, they took the chairs. They threw the chairs out of the ring. They threw the signs out of the ring. They got all the debris, all the crap out of the ring. Owens went to one corner. Austin went to the opposite corner. The referee asked them, are you ready? He called for the bell, and the bell rang. And the place went nuts. It's not very often when the bell rings before they touch that you hear a crowd erupt into holy shit chants. It's happened a few times before. I think the first time I ever saw that was the first match between The Shield and the Wyatt family at the Elimination Chamber show in 2014. They hadn't even touched. They hadn't locked up. They didn't do anything. The bell rang, and it got holy shit chants, and this is awesome chants. Very seldomly do you see that. But think about the gravity of this if you're a wrestling fan. If you grew up a fan of Stone Cold Steve Austin, you never got to see him have a retirement match. You probably didn't even know when he lost to The Rock at WrestleMania 19. That was his retirement match because he didn't want anybody to know. And so all these years go by, you're like, yeah, Stone Cold's not going to come back. If he was going to come back, he would have come back by now. And all of a sudden, he's standing in the middle of the ring in the main event of WrestleMania, and there's a referee, and they ring the bell. Now, I see it with my own eyes. Now I believe it. Holy fuck, we're about to get a Stone Cold Steve Austin match. They exchange right hands, and it was very apparent here at the beginning of this. I will say that it was very apparent here at the beginning of this that Austin was a lot slower. He was not throwing those fists. He was not throwing those feet, those boots in the corner with the same kind of speed that he did 20 or 25 years ago. But he started to, he got the better of the punch exchange, got Owens down in the corner and started stomping him. But he was stomping him very slowly. It was one stomp at a time and he would stop and then another stomp and he would stop. But when he got to like 7 or 8, then he started finally stomping a mud hole in him. He sends Owens into the opposite corner. Owens took this huge exaggerated bump and falls down. Stomped him in the opposite corner. Threw Owens out to the floor. Asked for a beer. This was his second beer so far of this match. We're not even 2 minutes into this match. And the man is already on his second lager. Austin turns Owens inside out with a clothesline on the floor. Owens comes back and sends Austin face first into the ring post. So his first bump. Austin goes down. Owens pulled out a table from under the ring. He propped it up against the barricade. Austin reversed him into it. And Owens took a bump through the table. So we got our first table bump of the match. Again, it's no holds barred. Austin threw him over the barricade. They brawled into the crowd, which used to be a staple of Stone Cold matches, including WrestleMania. In fact, some of the matches with The Rock. Maybe 15, I know 17, they brawled into the crowd. I don't remember if they did in 19. They may have. So they brawl into the crowd. And Austin, and I will tell you this, this was probably the most surprising moment or surprising bump of this entire thing because I just didn't think that he would take this. Austin took a suplex on the concrete floor. That surprised me that he would agree to take that bump, but he did. Got suplexed on the floor. They got back on their feet, though. They start slugging it out. People are going nuts for this. People are losing their minds. They probably can't believe what they're seeing. Again, this was never announced. Now, we could talk about whether or not should they have announced this in advance. You know, maybe, but you know, they did not advertise this as a match. So you had a lot of people that never thought they were going to, you know, see Stone Cold back in the ring. And all of a sudden, you know, Johnny Boy over here is drinking his fucking orange soda. And here's Stone Cold beating this guy up right in front of him. So, of course, you know, or maybe they're a few beers in, and that's why, you know, they're kind of losing their minds here. So they brawl back down to ringside. Austin dumped Owens. Owens had climbed up on the barricade. Austin grabbed him and threw him over onto the announce desk, which did not break. Austin grabbed some more of his new lagers. He climbed up onto the table. And he downed some of the lagers. He needed a cold beverage. Then he kneels down. He starts firing away with right hands at KO's skull. So they bring it back into the ring. And I'm thinking now, boy, this has already gone longer than I thought it would. They're back in the ring. Owens draped Austin neck first over the top rope to buy himself some time. And then he climbed onto Austin's ATV. He's going to try to escape. He's going to drive the ATV all the way to the back. And as he's trying to turn it on and figure out how to use it, that gave Austin enough time to come up from behind. And Austin climbs onto the ATV, and then they ride the thing up onto the stage. I think they did. They drive it onto the stage, because I was distracted here for a moment. They ended up on stage pretty quickly. I think they drove the thing up onto the stage. But anyway, so now they're on stage. Austin gives him a suplex on the stage and gets up very quickly. And it was around this point in the match that Austin looked like he got a second wind, which is what I said at the beginning of the stream. He seemed to get better as the match went on. He started very slow. He was very sluggish at the beginning of this thing. By this point, he's given Owens a suplex on one side of the stage. He takes him over and gives him a second suplex. You know, and he's taking the same bump. You know, when you take the guy over, Austin also is landing on the stage. So he's taking bumps. He's popping back up. He's drinking beer. He seems to be getting better and getting more energy as the match goes on. And I think it's the fucking beer, I'm telling you. The more beer he drank, the better he got. Austin brings him back down to the ring. Sucks down some more beers. Owens, though, catches him with a stunner. Hits him with his own move. Goes to pin him. Austin kicks out. Owens goes outside. He grabs a steel chair. He brings it into the ring. He takes a swing at Austin. Austin ducks. Owens hits the top rope. The chair ricochets off the top rope and smacks Owens right back at his own head. I always love that spot. Actually, what's funny about that, Austin did that to himself once in a match, even though he wasn't supposed to, so he no-sold it. But the over-the-edge match with Dude Love back in 98, towards the finish, when Austin had the chair in his hand, he didn't mean to do it, but he hit the top rope, and it hit him right back in the head. And he just had to pretend like it didn't hurt. But the chair smacks Owens right back in his own skull, and he turns around. Austin hits the Stone Cold Stunner. Goes for the pin and gets the 1, 2, 3. This went about 14 minutes, believe it or not, from bell to bell. This thing went 14 minutes. This was a real fucking match. This was not like a 2-minute thing or anything like that. This was a non-sanctioned. This was a real match. So for the people who, you know, worry about that stuff, oh, is it official? Is it in the record book? You know, all that kind of stuff. Yes. Austin officially came out of retirement at WrestleMania 38. His last match will no longer go down as the match with The Rock at WrestleMania in Seattle, which he lost. His final match, if this is his final match, and frankly, after watching him here, even though he seemed to get better as the match went on, I don't know that I have much of a desire to see him back on a regular basis after this. I think as a one-time thing at WrestleMania in Texas, he got to write his storybook ending. When Austin went out in 03, he didn't want to leave. It wasn't his choice to stop wrestling. He says he really struggled with it, too, for years after. He was doing a lot of stuff he shouldn't have been doing. He was doing drugs, all kinds of shit, because he had it taken away from him. He wasn't ready to give it up. He was the biggest star in the world, and all of a sudden, he can't do what he does for a living anymore. He's got to go find something else to do. That's a tough pill to swallow. He didn't get to write his own ending. Triple H didn't get to write his own ending either, because now he's retired. If he wrestles again, he could die. So for his own health, his career was ended for him. It was not his decision to make. Austin tonight was able to finally write his own final chapter. And what better place to do it than in Texas, in front of a big-ass crowd, in the main event of WrestleMania against somebody who clearly he respects and thinks the world of, because otherwise he wouldn't have agreed to work with Kevin Owens. The kid who he gave advice to all those many years ago in the airport when Kevin Steen approached him and said, hey, do you have any advice for me and my friend, you know, Sami Zayn? Do you have any advice for us? And he said, don't ever stop running your mouth. The only best piece of advice I can give you, never shut up. Don't ever stop running your mouth. That's how far back the history goes between the two of them. He got to work against him tonight. End things on his terms. End things with a win. Who doesn't want to go out a winner? Austin celebrates. And after a while, Owens finally gets back up to his feet. He gives Owens a second stunner. Down goes Kevin Owens, much to the delight of the entire crowd. Two police officers are there outside the ring to carry Owens to the back. All the shit that he said about Texas, they're taking him on out of Texas. And Austin wraps up by saying that it's great to be back in Dallas, Texas, and that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so. And he hands the referee outside the ring, hands him a beer. The referee's chugging the beer. Austin calls Byron Saxton into the ring to share a beer. Remember what he did to poor Byron on that 316 edition of Raw at the beginning of the pandemic when they were in the PC with no people? Gave poor Byron, I think he might have given him more than one, but he gave Byron a stunner. So he invited Byron into the ring to share a beer. You knew exactly what was coming next. And he gave Byron a stunner. He did this huge, exaggerated oversell. Then he invited his brother into the ring to share a beer. I was hoping he would stun his brother, but he didn't stun his brother. He let his brother get by without being stunned. And that was it. That's how they closed out the show. This was, in a word, fun. Or in two words, fucking fun. This was fucking fun. Austin gets one last match where his career began. Kevin Owens gets to live his dream. Kevin Owens, can we acknowledge the fact that Kevin Steen got to main event a WrestleMania? Let alone that it was against Stone Cold Steve Austin. But Kevin Steen, who just re-signed with WWE a few months ago, signed a brand new contract, a few months later is in the WrestleMania main event against Stone Cold Steve Austin. You can't script a better story than that. I'm happy for him. You know that for him, that's just an all-time career moment for him. And the only thing missing, and I said this on Twitter, and I know Jim Ross has lost a few steps from what he used to be, but the only thing missing from this match was the soundtrack of Jim Ross on commentary. If Stone Cold was going to come back and have one last match, it's just too bad we couldn't get Jim Ross on commentary for it. That's honestly the only thing that was missing from this. Otherwise, I thought that from start to finish, this was just a lot of fun. And this show tonight could not have closed out in a better way. So that put a smile on my face. And when this WrestleMania was over, after having seen that, I was left very satisfied. I thought this was a very good show. And so now we have night two coming up. And night two is going to have some work to do. I'm looking at that card and, you know, it's doable. It's doable, but I think it's going to be tough. I think it's going to be tough. We have WrestleMania Sunday coming up. I am going to be back with you to do this all over again one more time tomorrow night. Here is the rundown real quick. We have winner-take-all championship unification. Brock Lesnar one-on-one against Roman Reigns. Edge one-on-one against AJ Styles, which, of course, I'm looking forward to that a lot. Pat McAfee against Austin Theory, which I think could be very entertaining. Anything goes. Sami Zayn against Johnny Knoxville. We have the Raw Tag Team titles on the line. RK-Bro defending against the Street Profits in the Alpha Academy. Women's Tag Team titles on the line. Sasha Banks and Naomi. Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan. Shayna Baszler and Natalya. And Carmella and Zelina Vega. And Bobby Lashley goes one-on-one with Omos. And we'll see if they reschedule the New Day match against Sheamus and Ridge Holland. If they don't reschedule that match for tomorrow, it's pretty fucked up. I mean, I understand in the past that matches get cut for time purposes sometimes, but you've got two nights of WrestleMania now. They have a two-hour pre-show. From 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock, you have a two-hour pre-show. Throw these guys a bone. Put them on the pre-show, if nothing else. I can completely understand. If they don't make it on the show tomorrow night, I would be just as upset as they are. So anyway, that is the WrestleMania rundown for tomorrow. Now, you guys have had a lot to say. By the way, I'm being told that we have a little over 200 likes left to hit 1,000. So can you get me to 1,000? Toss this guy a thumbs up. Let's see if we can at least hit 1,000 here. We had almost 4,000 in here before. Surely we can hit 1,000. But before I get to your super chats, we do have some business to transact here. This is something I know some of you have been waiting for. Wrestle Rumble, the first of two contests for which I get to pick the winners here this weekend. This one, very appropriate, of course, tonight being the return of Stone Cold Steve Austin. Now we have the Stone Cold Mania Championship Belt Contest. I'm going to be picking four winners at random to win those championships that you see on your screen. Fourth place winner gets the Mini Austin Legacy Belt. Third place winner gets the Attitude Era Big Eagle, like the one that you see over my shoulder on camera when I am on camera, which I'm not right now. Second place winner gets the United States Championship, old WCW style. And the first place winner gets the Stone Cold Smoking Skull Championship. So what I'm going to do here, the way we do these contests, is I am going to put the names here in this randomizer. And we had a lot of names here, well over 2,000. I think it was over 2,400, but whatever the exact number was, well over 2,000 names. You might see some repeats because you can't enter more than once, but I'll list the names here. And so what we're going to do is I'm going to randomize this. Hey, Big Red Justice, just subscribe to the channel. Asuka gives you the double thumbs up. I'm going to randomize this. The first four names that you see are going to correspond to the first, second, third, and fourth place winners based on those numbers. It's very simple. It does not get any easier than that. So, without any further ado, drum roll, please. The winners of the contest are Bryant Becerra is the first place winner of the Stone Cold Mania contest. Second place winner, Wesley Parker. Third place winner, Brian Caravlan. Or Caravlan. And the fourth place winner is Kayla Spencer. So congratulations to Bryant, Wesley, Brian, and Kayla. You are the first, second, third, and fourth place winners in that order in the Stone Cold Mania Championship Belt Contest. Wrestle Rumble will be in contact with you to get those championships out to you at the beginning of this week, ASAP. So congratulations to those four, and thank you to everybody who entered the contest. We are going to be doing another contest tomorrow night, actually. And what I'll do now is show you what that contest is going to be. There it is right there. Tomorrow night, it is the Wrestle Rumble Championship Gold Rush. The Championship Gold Rush contest. First place winner is going to get a WrestleMania Moments belt. Second place winner gets an NWA. Look at that classic NWA design. And third place winner gets the AWA replica belt. So you still have time to enter. Think up until 8 o'clock Eastern tomorrow night. It's only $1. $1 to enter the contest, and we will pick three more winners tomorrow night. Always fun. Always fun to give some championships away here and put smiles on people's faces. That is what Wrestle Rumble is all about. WrestleRumble.com. Check them out. Oh, we're getting close. I'm being told we're getting close. Close to 1,000 likes. Yeah, I was actually surprised to see that AWA belt down there. It's not often you see the AWA replicas. It's always the same ones, right? But there you see over my shoulder, right there. There it is. There's that big eagle. I got that when they first started making these championship replicas. So this is probably 2000. There it is, right there. 2001. That's how far back. That's why it still has the scratch logo. You can't see from here, but that's it's not that stupid WWE scratch logo. That's the WWF one back there. So Anyway, let's flip on over to your super chats. Hey, Glendel Smith, thank you for the sub. Welcome to the channel, Glendel Smith. We are going to go through all of your messages. So if you have comments about WrestleMania tonight, if you still have predictions for WrestleMania Night 2 or anything else for that matter, send them on in. What did you think about Cody Rhodes and the way WWE handled the big return? What did you think of Stone Cold back in the ring tonight? Want to hear from you guys? Well, you guys were out in full force. You guys came out earlier, too, for the NXT stream. So don't forget, if you missed that, the Stand and Deliver stream is also up. We got Lakers Pats 1. Seth Rollins stole Nia Jax's gear. Shin Akuma with the $20 super chat says, man, Kingdom never sounded good. I think he meant never sounded so good. That, see, just missing that one word changes the entire meaning of what you were trying to say there. It says, Cody would have killed, murdered, and slaughtered for that reaction on Dynamite. Well, maybe he meant it. Maybe he's not a fan of the song. I don't know. Shin Akuma also says, great effing match. This night keeps bringing the fire. What a moment. Let's see here. We've got Hyru with the $10 super chat. Adrenaline in my soul. Something, something. Cody Rhodes. Good to have Cody back in WWE, and he and Seth tore it up. Food Hive. 1999. What's going on, Food Hive? WWE is lucky to have Cody. I find it funny how most of the AEW haters kept calling him just a mid-carder. Just for you all to chant Cody, 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 and say that he's a star. It's funny how narratives can change. WWE, don't F this up. Yeah, you know, it goes the other way, too. You have WWE fans who crapped all over Cody, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, the prodigal son returns. They're all hypocrites. You have hypocrites on the WWE side. You have hypocrites on the AEW side. They're all men for each other. They should just go off and fuck off. They have more in common than they think. Speak of the devil, there he is himself with his golden shovel. Cody Rhodes. On the screen. George Mazur, thank you for the $4.99. Replica GL with the $5. I must say, when Cody did the cartwheel and the Stardust hand gesture, that made the night for me. Miles Woods with the $9.99. If CM Punk would have returned to WWE instead of AEW, do you think it would have been Punk and Austin? Very interesting question. Would CM Punk have gotten the match with Steve Austin tonight? I think there's a very good chance, yeah. Maybe we would have gotten Punk and Austin instead. Shin Akuma. Night one delivered. I had a very fun night. I'm still high off the Cody and Austin moments. WWE delivers when they want to. Oh, Jolly Burgos, I can't tell you how fired up I am right now. This is the most excited for WWE that I have been in years, and we still have one more night to go. Amazing show. Josh Vlogs with the $23 super chat. Thank you, Josh. Greetings at 5 a.m. here from England. Just a message to say thank you for the content this week and in general. Well, you're very welcome. It is going to be a very late night and a very early morning because I have a lot of work yet to do for episode 750. So I have a podcast and another stream to do tomorrow, but I shall get that out to you guys as soon as possible. And yes, I did finally see the FTR Briscoes match, which I will briefly talk about on the show tomorrow. Mr. Notorious Dez, what if Austin decided after tonight to have one last run? Would you have him win a title or just an attraction? By the way, you are doing a great job. Thank you. No, I would not have him win any championships. Again, he looked better as the match went on. He looked fine, I thought, in there. But I don't think that Austin has another full run left in. I think that it's probably better to just leave well enough alone, have that moment tonight in Texas. Hopefully he didn't get hurt, right? He got out of it unscathed. He looked like he was having fun out there. He looked good. But you definitely noticed early in the match that he is a lot slower. I don't know that I need to see him wrestling on a regular basis. But you know what? Look, everybody comes back and does these Saudi Arabia matches and probably makes a lot of money off of it. If Austin wants to get himself a Saudi Arabia payday, then, you know, more power to him. Epsilon Sama, Cody Rhodes is all WWE. Also, Stone Cold, Stone Cold, Stone Cold. Now you think day two will be able to follow this up? Probably not. I don't think day two is going to be as good as day one. Lamar Smith, $9.99. I have to say, when Austin started throwing them slow-ass punches and kicks, I got a little scared at first. Glad it picked up. Great night overall, I think. Yeah, again, it was. I'm telling you, it was the beer. I'm telling you, it was the alcohol. Had to be. It had to be the liquor. Powerful one. Shawn Michaels, The Rock, Kevin Owens. The three men who main evented WrestleMania with Stone Cold Steve Austin. No matter what happens with Owens' career after this, he's got to be overjoyed to say that he did this. Oh, I'll bet. I'll bet he's got the biggest fucking smile on his face right now. I have to give Kevin Owens a lot of credit. He was bumping his ass off in that match. He was doing everything in his power to make Stone Cold look as good as he could possibly make him look. Especially in those first few minutes, it was almost like he was wrestling himself in the early part of the match. The bump in the corner, the table bump on the outside, twisting inside out on the clothesline on the floor. The man was basically wrestling himself. Uh-oh. Guess who that is? It's little bratty 5-year-old Sala Monster shooting his friend. That is me, by the way. Let's see here. We got Rengel or Srengel. I wonder how last minute the decision was to have Austin KO as an actual match. If they knew all along, you would think they would promote it as a match. Yeah, again, I don't think that Austin was entirely sure what he wanted to do, and I think he was probably more comfortable not announcing it as a match and not getting people's hopes up and then surprising them and hopefully not getting hurt and having a good match, and that's pretty much how it played out tonight. Mr. Notorious Dez. So now that Cody is officially a sports entertainer once again, who should he feud with leading to SummerSlam? Well, probably not going to be Roman Reigns. If Roman is still the champion, it's probably going to be Roman and Drew. I don't know. As far as who Cody feuds with, I mean, you could take your pick. I would love to see Cody and AJ Styles doing something, but if Cody is a babyface, Cody and Edge. I think if Edge stays heel and Cody stays babyface, Cody and Edge is just a natural feud. I could see that being a SummerSlam match. Ojali Burgos, Bianca really is that girl. Not even 6 years in WWE and a future Hall of Famer already. Gotta give the devil their due. I was pissed after SummerSlam, but tonight's payoff was worth it. Becky talked her shit and backed it up. Aaron Banks, I've watched a few of Cody's matches in AEW. Could not take my eyes off of his neck tattoo. I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing. Either way, a great match. Let's see here. We've got the Yatagarasu with the $10 super chat. This card heavily exceeded my expectations in match quality. Thumbs up. Mr. All Day J dropping a $50 super chat 2 hours ago. I missed it. $50 super chat from All Day J. Great job as always, he says. Thank you. Bianca against Becky was, for me, the match of the night, and I got to be a kid one more time seeing Stone Cold, Stone Cold. Well, that's really what it's all about, right? It takes you back, because it's been so long. So I think if you, as a little kid, or as a teenager, or college age, whatever, however old you may have been, you know, if you grew up watching Stone Cold at his peak when he was white hot, he was the biggest thing in all of wrestling. He's been gone for so long, but you hear the glass shatter and he's back in the ring one more time and he's got, you know, he's back brawling in his gear and everything. You know, it brings you back. It brings you back to kind of a happy time in wrestling. It's called nostalgia. Nostalgia is a very powerful emotion. The problem with nostalgia is it's only temporary, and the more that you go to it, the less impact that it has. Part of the reason why I don't really need to see Stone Cold come back for, like, another run. But you take your nostalgia in small doses or whatever, and yeah, you can absolutely make some money off nostalgia. You can sell tickets, and you know, you can get people tuned in. People love watching the old stars. Let's see. We got Lightning J, or Lighting. Lighting J. $100 bomb. Look at this. A $100 super chat from Lighting J. Appreciate all your hard work, Solomon, sir. Thank you, sir. That's very kind of you. I appreciate that. It's been a very busy week. It's not over yet. It is not over yet, but I do appreciate it. Sean Waters, after night one, I almost don't even care about tomorrow besides the main event. I think Edge and AJ are going to have a good match. Mr. Notorious Dez. So let's rebook 1990 WrestleMania match with Dusty Rhodes and Macho Man. I love this. It's 2 o'clock in the morning.
In my eye!
Thank you, M. Mills, with the 1992 Ric Flair Royal Rumble Super Chat. But I love how it's 2 o'clock in the morning. We're talking about WrestleMania 38. But Mr. Notorious wants to suddenly rebook WrestleMania 1990. Do you think it would have been a singles match or Dusty against somebody else? No, I mean, it probably would have been a singles match. It would have been Dusty against Macho. I mean, that was the feud at the time. And that's actually the match they did end up doing at SummerSlam 90, I believe it was. And it was a very big disappointment. Mads, Austin confronts the winner of Night 2 main event. No. No. You know, Kevin Owens was the perfect opponent for Stone Cold Steve Austin. Stone Cold in there against Brock Lesnar would scare me. Stone Cold in there with Brock Lesnar would scare me. Even though I think Roman is going to win, he's my pick. But, you know, again, I don't need him challenging for a championship. He doesn't have to challenge for a title. Skull Dipper 125 with the $99.99. Look at this. Another $100 bomb here from Skull Dipper. He is dipping into that skull. Or I guess it's skull that he's dipping, I guess. Austin still receives the biggest pop I've ever heard. The Raw Women's title match was definitely match of the night for me. Overall, thumbs up on night one of WrestleMania. Hiru, extremely happy for Kevin Owens. Still can't believe I just saw Stone Cold Steve Austin in a match in 2022. Mr. Notorious, again, I shed a lot of tears at the Hall of Fame last night, but what person not named Sting would have Undertaker have had a good program with in the last 30 years? What person not named Sting? Undertaker and AJ. If Undertaker was more in his physical prime, even if you just go back, I mean, my God, even 10 years, he was pretty much beaten to shit. But 10, 12, 13 years ago against, current, like AJ when he came in 2016 against that version of The Undertaker in a traditional match, I think would have been great. It's just they kind of missed each other like two passing ships in the night. So they had their Boneyard match, and that was a great match, but, you know, they never did have the traditional one-on-one. Zach Jones, how many times is Charlotte Flair going to show the world her chest before a WWE suit pulls her aside and tells her to take those bad boys down? So that may have been what happened. Because she was doing the figure eight, right? In that position, they would have fallen out. That's probably what I said. It was probably nipple. It was probably nipple. That's why my screen went black. Like my feed had a heart attack. Like it's never seen a nipple before. Zach Jones. I agree. Oh, jolly. Also, let this be a lesson. It pays not to be bitter. Bianca got her redemption. Cody came back a bigger star with a WrestleMania moment. Owens got to main event WrestleMania against Stone Cold. Take notes, CM Punk. Rodimus Prime with the $30 Super Chat drop. Unfortunately, had to deal with a stomach bug. Ew. but couldn't afford to miss WrestleMania. I enjoyed night one. Let's see what night two brings tomorrow. Yes, indeed. Ben, I'm sorry about your stomach bug. That sucks. As the glass was shattering, I guess Rodimus was... Well, there were some other sound effects going on. Well, I hope you feel better for night two. Benno, 380 with $15. Adrenaline in my soul. Something, something, Cody Rhodes. Clapstick 77 with the $9.99. It's 2022, and two of the best things I've seen this year involve Sting and Stone Cold. Nobody could have been a better opponent than Kevin Owens in that match. I would agree. He took care of Austin. He made him look like a fucking... like he had never missed a day. He did everything he possibly could to make Austin look as good as he can possibly make him look. Amari Johnson. 1 year ago, Cody was in AEW and Brian was main eventing WrestleMania. Now the two have switched brands in moves that seemed unlikely just a year ago. Which company got the better of the exchange, AEW or WWE? That is impossible to answer because, I mean, Cody literally just came back and had one match. Talk to me in 6 months. I can give you a better answer. I've had 6 months now, over 6 months of Brian Danielson in AEW, and I can tell you that he is fucking awesome in AEW. So I would go Brian Danielson right now, but you know, 6 months from now, I might feel differently. Carlos Saldana, Kevin Man, super happy for him. Winston Smith with the 11. Duke should have won. Seems like a lucky night for North Carolina. Lots of wrestlers say I'll kick your ass all over the arena, but Stone Cold actually did it. Happy for both of them. KO show forever. Ojali Burgos, last thought for the night. It's kind of funny and sad that Logan is already a better wrestler than Dominic in most of the current roster. He's also physically bigger than most of them, too. A-Rod 0513. I was in the building tonight, and I'm not ashamed to say that I cried for that iconic glass shattering and seeing my favorite star of all time wrestle. AWOL. My brother said WWE buried Cody's finisher in his first match back. He hit him with four. I said Cody buried his own finisher in AEW a long time ago. Jamie Dorsch brings back childhood memories seeing Austin in the ring again. 9-year-old me in 98 is smiling right now. Austin drinking beers for power-ups. Well, wrestling should be a new concept in every game. That's exactly what it was. It was like his power-up, and he just gained more and more power with each beer that he drank. Stuart Brody, Stone Cold, oot his tree, and raising hell. Well, we know Stuart's been drinking some lagers tonight. I don't know what the fuck he just said, but Stuart, thank you for the super chat. Something about trees and Stone Cold, I don't know. Slipper House Extra Extra, Dominic Mysterio took his gear from Cody's bag. The red, white, and blue? Yeah, you might be right, actually. You might be right. Fire Panda 007. Next year, you and me in that 60-minute classic. We'll make it happen. Devin from NJ, buy or sell. Better use of Ball with the Boss. Stone Cold KO video package or the ending of the pilot of The Shield. Ooh. The ending of the pilot of The Shield is one of the best I've ever seen. But better use of the song, I would go with the Stone Cold video package. Alvin Johnson with the 20. Thank you, Alvin. With tonight being my first time in a long time watching a main roster WWE show, I gotta say night one was a pleasant surprise. Fingers crossed for night two to do the same. Plus Ultra Adrian. Awesome Saturday night one of WrestleMania. My North Carolina Tar Heels beat Duke to make it to the national championship game. Is that on Monday? That's on Monday night, isn't it? Uh-oh. Raw's in trouble. But he says Becky and Bianca stole the show tonight. Dallas Caballero, Cody sold his soul to the devil himself to come back to WWE. Really happy for Bianca. I was there at SummerSlam when Becky squashed her. Deuce, Cody apparently is signed to a multi-year deal and is executive producer on a new Dusty documentary. Had an interesting interview with Variety as well. Well, that I cannot wait to read that. Buzzsaw 75, Kevin Owens deserves a medal for taking care of Stone Cold and making sure he wasn't going to get hurt. Great wrestler and one of the best. A much-deserved moment for Kevin Owens, a man who has been oftentimes forgotten and has fallen through the cracks in WWE, and I think, frankly, has not been fully appreciated all the time. He's been taken for granted. He deserved that moment. I'm very happy for him. Shin Akuma, Mysterio and Dominic making the entrance was pretty cool. Another one of the good moments that make WrestleMania. Winston Smith, Duke was robbed, just like Canadian hero Kevin Owens was robbed of a certain victory. What is KO's best match on the main roster? Offhand, I don't know, but I am actually quite fond of the match he had with Dean Ambrose at the Royal Rumble. In 2016, they had an Intercontinental title match to open the show. I don't know if that's his best, but that's one of the ones that comes to mind. MattView72, if you think Charlotte Flair should quit trying that stupid moonsault, give me a hell yeah! Get my vote. Michael McManaman, great review. I was impressed with night one of WrestleMania. Usually only watch AEW. Been listening to you for years. Thank you, Solomonster. Well, thank you, Michael McManaman. I appreciate that. I almost said McMahon. I almost made you an honorary member of the McMahon family. We got a lot of hell yeahs in the chat who agreed with that last super chat. Powerful one. Stone Cold just closed night one. Imagine if Rock comes back to close night two. That's my prediction. Roman wins and Rock comes out for the big cliffhanger confrontation to potentially set up the main event of WrestleMania 39. So we very well could be in for a weekend where Stone Cold and The Rock each close out WrestleMania. What a world. Darth Panic, Bianca against Becky was my favorite match of the night. Michael Cuomo, even if Owens wins the WWE title, this was the highlight of his career. I think you're right. I think he would agree. Let's see here. The Yatagarasu was back with another $5 super chat. Biggest heel move ever. Miz picked up Rey's son and beat him with him. Rizzo, if they try turning Logan babyface, it will backfire like it did with Mayweather. Turtlehead, Bianca is 2-0 against the faux horsewomen. Boogs will be out for over a year. I had a torn patella tendon injury. It's patellar, by the way. Patellar tendon. He had a torn patellar tendon injury in 04. It's going to be a long road back for him. I'm sorry to hear that. That sounds like a very painful injury. He definitely looked like he was in pain as they were carrying him out. Simi Valley with the 20. Thank you, Simi. What's next for Becky after losing the championship? We could get something with maybe Becky and Rhea. You know, I wouldn't throw Rhea immediately into a women's title feud with Bianca because I don't think that... Yeah, I wouldn't want Rhea losing right away. I think that Rhea should not win tomorrow night because I don't want her to be stuck in another tag team. But I think doing something with Becky and Rhea might be the next direction I would go. Kenneth Taff. Another match. I kind of couldn't believe it. Austin was back. As a fan who started watching back in 05, I now saw Austin wrestle for the first time. That is very cool. Dave Will. If you still believe Royal Rumble winners should main event WrestleMania, why did you want Undertaker and Shawn Michaels to main event WrestleMania 25 and 26 over Randy Orton and Edge? Because I can go back and send you the footage. Because, as I have said, there are certain attractions that are worthy of the WrestleMania main event. Rock, coming back in 2012, was worthy of the WrestleMania main event. If they had promoted in advance that Stone Cold was going to be in the main event, nobody would have batted an eyelash. It would have been obvious. You put Austin in the main event. Hey, Oxify, thank you for becoming a channel member. We're now a sound-off superstar. As far as the Michaels-Undertaker matches, there was no topping what they did. It's the same thing with Rock and Hogan at WrestleMania 18. Rock and Hogan should have closed out the show. Triple H and Chris Jericho were fucked when that match was over. And they knew it. Triple H and Randy Orton knew it. Randy Orton jokes that Triple H was throwing the belt. He was so pissed off after that Michaels-Undertaker match at 25. There are just certain attractions and certain matches that should not go anywhere but in the main event. I've made that very clear, that there are exceptions to the rule. It is not a one-size-fits-all, you know, just always this is how it has to be thing. My issue is that they had gotten into the habit of doing the let's open the show, you know, with the Royal Rumble winner, or let's put him in the middle of the card on shows where they did not have an appropriate attraction that would go on in the main event. There was no reason in that situation for a lot of those matches not to go on in the main event. But there are exceptions to the rule. I don't know how I can explain it any more clear than that. You want me to say it in a different language? I mean, I can do that. You know, ¿qué pasa? I mean, I can try in Spanish, maybe. But thank you, Dave. I do appreciate that. Fire Panda would have chugged my fireball if it was Ryback. Devin Garcia with the 25. That's the Hardy Monster super chat. Let's see. Love your show, Solid Monster. Been a fan since 2013 when you talked about the chance from the Sheamus-Randy Orton match on the Raw after WrestleMania 29. What is up with those stupid 3D graphics with every entrance? It's just, you know, they're always trying to make the show look cool. You know, they cut away from Austin during his entrance when he was about to climb up on one of the turnbuckles, and they cut away to show us a giant 3D CGI skull. Why the fuck would you do that? And they realize they fucked up, and they immediately cut back to Austin. Austin is about to climb the turnbuckles and pose at WrestleMania, and you cut away to show us a CGI fucking skull on the screen? What the fuck is wrong with you? Very dumb. Very, very dumb. Michael Darcy, I lost $50 because Ronda got pinned after a boot to the face. I'm never betting on WWE matches again. Well, that's your first mistake, by the way. Don't ever bet on WWE. I'm an idiot, he says, and so is WWE for booking Ronda to lose. They booked her to lose, but again, they gave her two outs in that match where she technically won but didn't. It is very strange that they brought Ronda Rousey back and beat her in the way that they did. Fire Panda, note, talking about the Seth match. I think he meant not talking about the Seth match. Matthew Scheffel, Dustin Rhodes next to come to WWE. No, he's not going anywhere. He's very happy and content in AEW. In fact, I saw Dustin tweet something tonight. He tweeted, fuck the pedigree. So, I guess he doesn't like the pedigree. Hugo Allen Stevens with the $26 super chat. Just got back to my hotel despite some technical difficulties with BT Sports. And poor Charlotte suffering some wardrobe malfunctions. Night one rocked. Here's to night two. Turtlehead, night one was good last year, right? Oh, God, I don't even remember. I think it was. That was the night that had the Sasha Bianca match. I'm trying to think what else was on that night one show. It opened with Drew and Lashley, I think. And it closed with Sasha and Bianca. What night had Owens and Zayn? Was that night one or night two? I don't remember. I think I remember night one, though, being better than night two last year. I could be wrong, though. I don't remember all the matches from last year's WrestleMania. Rizzo, Charlotte had a wardrobe malfunction because my screen went black also. So being the researcher, I searched Twitter and photos showed up. I immediately looked away from the photos. Thank you for your... Why'd you look away from the photos? Was something wrong? Well, I'll have to investigate this also, so go ahead and tweet me. Andrew Jorlog with the 1992. Hey, Andrew the Giant, dropping some super chat. Night one was better than expected. Seth and Cody stole the show. Becky and Bianca, best match. KO at Austin, still can't believe it happened. Night two will be a disappointment. Well, with that attitude, of course it will be. Thank you, Andrew. The Mount Vernon Kid, the Alpha. Charlotte is such a liar. She said she was going to tap Ronda out. LOL. Think the rematch will be a submission match? Could be, yeah. I could see that being a submission match. Now that they've established that, you know, both women clearly have multiple submissions they can use, including the ankle lock. Look at this. Everybody in the chat is about to go do research. For the first time in their fucking lives, everybody's going to go do some research. We're about to go do some social media research on this Charlotte little faux pas here. Ali Al. Here's some CAD, because Canada is better than Texas. He's sending me some of that Canadian currency. Owen speaks only the truth, he says. Or she says. Could be a female fan of the show. Hugo, when Austin left the stage to go back and get his ATV, I was transported back to 2004 and suddenly 9 years again. Would have loved it even more if he could have come out to Glass Shatters by Disturbed. I did. The Disturbed music was very good. I do miss the Disturbed. SJR 1983. Seeing my guy return to WrestleMania in 2022 brought tears to my eyes. It was the right move to put him in with Kevin last. I was sports entertained. I was also sports entertained by that finish. Bobby's World. What's up, Solomonster? Damn good first night of WrestleMania. Never been a fan of Logan Paul, but credit where it's due. He looked like he belonged out there. Hope you're able to get some rest after this. At this rate, I don't even know if I'm going to bed tonight. Which is probably not a good idea. Simi Valley. Hope we get to a point where we get a Reigns and Cody feud. You know Roman is going to mention AEW because he can pretty much say whatever he wants. Canadian Oddball, if this was Austin's last match, don't you think he would have lost to Kevin Owens? No, not necessarily. Not everybody has to lose in their final match. I'm not sure that Owens would have wanted a win. I wouldn't be surprised if Owen insisted that he get stunned and get pinned. As big of a Stone Cold fan as he is, I can believe it. I can believe that he would have actually preferred to lose. Fire Panda, apparently KO is buried now. Yeah, apparently. Yeah, right. He's completely buried. Whatever will he do? His career is over. His career is in shambles. Oh, it's our buddy Luis. Luis Belmont Show walkthroughs with the $10 super chat. The moment Austin said, bring a ref, I texted my cousin that Austin was going to wrestle. He replied with, I'm watching. And yes, the main event was effing awesome. Devin the Doppler, just wanted to say thank you for the hard work with all the streams this week. Who is your prediction for Cody's first feud? Well, as I said a little while ago, I think that probably Edge is somebody who I think will end up in the ring with him at some point. I don't know maybe if it's his next feud, but once the Edge and AJ stuff plays itself out, because that I think is going to go extend beyond WrestleMania. I'm thinking Edge and Cody is probably going to be one of his, you know, one of his early feuds at least. I don't know what his first one's going to be, but that's one that I'd like to see. Let's see who we got. Who we got? We got JM. We got JM coming in hard with a $45 super chat. 1997 Stone Cold would have stunned his brother. I agree. Back then, he still beat up his brother and hung the phone up on his mother. He was feared from Cali to Boston, Steve Austin. Todd Pettengill, 1997 Slammy. I was going to say, where'd you get that from? That sounds like a fucking poem that you just read to me. That's from the Todd Pettengill Slammy song. He had two of them. He had one in 96 that he did. He had another one in 97. I don't know who this is. We've got some foreign characters that I can't read, but we have a 316 super chat. You know, I might have to make a new how do I not have a 316 super chat, actually? It is kind of crazy. I don't have a Stone Cold themed 316 super chat. We might have to change that. I might have to add one. He says, Andrew the Giant isn't a typo. Check Twitter. Shin Akuma. I don't know what that means. Shin Akuma, $20 super chat. Thanks once again for all you have done this week. The whole entrance, the match, the crowd made Cody look the biggest babyface in the whole company. It's all about presentation. They knocked it out of the park with Cody tonight. All they had to do was just sit back and let him do his thing. Cameron Spencer, what is your all-time favorite finisher? Mine is the Outsider's Edge and the Canadian Destroyer. My all-time favorite finisher is probably... I'm a big fan of the Sharpshooter and the Crossface Chicken Wing as far as submissions go. As far as other finishers, I always love the Razor's Edge. I'm a big fan of the Razor's Edge. I might actually, as far as like a non-submission finish, I might go with the Razor's Edge. The Powerbomb, even. The Kevin Nash Jackknife Powerbomb. Always was a fan of that, too. Cack Burlington, Solomonster, I may be a prisoner of the moment, but WrestleMania was 10 out of 10. Rollins and Cody, Bianca and Becky, Ray and Miz and Logan were great. All the matches were decent. Taker looked like a god. Seeing Stone Cold brought back nostalgia, goosebumps, and tears. Amiibo! Was wondering where Amiibo was hiding out. Show got progressively better, minus the SmackDown Women's match and unnecessary video packages for tomorrow's card. You know, if they had eliminated a lot of those video packages, they could have fit that New Day match. M. Mills, thank you for that 1992. Night one was much better than I expected. As always, thanks for the reviews. You're very welcome. Supratik Boxy, what is Hogan's connection with Canada with him being so over? Everyone talks about it. As a newer fan, I never get it. I don't know, but Hogan always did well in Canada. He and Paul Orndorff in Toronto had 60-plus thousand people at the CNE Stadium back in 86, which I think up to that point, and probably I guess the following year at WrestleMania. You know what it was, though? That show in Toronto in 86 where they had 62,000 or something like that. That's what got Vince McMahon thinking that, hey, we could really pack in a big building or a big stadium here. And that is what led to them booking the Pontiac Silverdome for WrestleMania 3 the following year. So even back then in the mid-80s, Hogan was doing well in Canada. WrestleMania 6 in Toronto, you know, obviously he had a lot of fan support. I don't know if it's a specific reason that he was so over in Canada, or, you know, Hogan was over in a lot of places back then. Why Canada? I don't know. It might have just been that, you know, Canada liked Hogan like a lot of other places did. I don't think he ever lived there. I don't think he ever rescued some kids from a burning fucking building or anything like that. You know, not that I'm aware of. You ask Hogan, he'll probably tell you a story that he did. I don't know. I don't know what it is. Tom Adams says WWE is fake. Holy shit, I didn't know. Thank you, Tom. You'll learn something new every day. Anthony Remy, what's the deal with Cody and the Nightmare Factory? I don't know if he still has an affiliation with them or not. I think he does, but I don't know. I don't see why not. I mean, a lot of wrestlers have their own schools or have affiliations with schools. The fact that a lot of Nightmare Factory talent are funneled into AEW, is that going to have an impact? It could. I haven't read anything about him no longer having an association with them. Diarlo Renfrew, what do you think about Will Smith unleashing his Antonio Inoki at the Oscars? I think he probably should have kept his hands to himself. That's what I think. Matthew Scheffel, what a wrestling week. Watched ROH Supercard, GCW, Joey Janela Spring Break, X-Pac and Janela stole the show, and now WrestleMania. Still one more night tomorrow. X-Pac wrestled that match with, I think, a torn bicep. He tore it in February. He got through the match, and now he's going to go have surgery and be out for several months. But he wrestled with a torn... Again, I think it's a bicep, not a tricep. Behind the Fiends, you think after Cody's debut tonight, others say Kenny Omega might want his WrestleMania moment now. Look, I mean, forever is a long time. I think that, you know, Omega and, you know, the other EVPs, I think they're probably very happy where they are in AEW right now. Are they going to be as happy in 2 or 3 years when they've wrestled everybody there is to wrestle and who knows how AEW business is going to be? A lot can change. A lot can change in a year. A lot can change in a couple of years. I think right now they're probably very happy where they are. But I think the Cody Rhodes thing should show that don't ever assume that anybody is going to be married to a particular company for their entire lives. People come, people go. It's not just people going from WWE to AEW. There will be people that go from AEW to WWE. And who knows, MJF, who's been teasing it, maybe we'll see MJF in WWE in a couple of years. Hey, Nick Nanos, thank you for that sub. Maruthi Ram, are there chances of seeing Demon King tomorrow? Demon King as in, talking Finn Balor? He's not on the card tomorrow. The demon's dead. Didn't you see that super chat a little while ago that popped up on your screen when he fell off the ropes in the match with Roman Reigns? The demon is dead. Even if they bring him back, the demon is dead. Dr. Scorpio, damn, we got to sit through another round of Ronda Flair segment. God help us, and I also got to do some quick educational research. Thank you. Boy, we got a lot of researchers here tonight. You guys can find the cure for fucking cancer if we had all these people doing research. Now the World, 138. As a lapsed fan, this is the first event that I've seen in 2 years, and I wasn't a 36-year-old watching. I was 10 years old. Again, loved it. Austin is the man for a reason. Fire Panda, KO is All Elite confirmed, as he does the googly, characters here. The uppercase and lowercase characters for everybody who is going to be listening to this on the download. Kevin Owens is All Elite confirmed. Maruthi Ram, I am more excited to see Cody's first interaction with previous two leaders of Bullet Club, Finn and AJ. Worth the wait. King Bling Blah, do we see Biker Taker tomorrow? Take one last ride. No. And Steven Escalante, I got chills during the Cody entrance. That is your rundown of Super Chats for tonight. Man, am I tired. It is 2:30 in the morning. How many likes we have up in this bitch here? Over 1,100 likes and still 2,500 people hanging out, huh? Man, you guys rocked it tonight. This is only night one. We still have night two. We still have a championship winner-take-all unification tomorrow night. Or later tonight, I should say. We get to do this all over again. Steven Escalante has one more super chat here. Buy or sell, better heel prick. MJF or a young Randy Orton? MJF. MJF is, guy's a fucking genius. I mean, he's just spot on in everything he does, every interview he does, the way he, you know, carries himself and commits to the whole gimmick. It's just not something you see very often in wrestling anymore. By the way, for those who may have missed it, There is a brand new Sound Off Gamer. My first My Rise episode. Solomonster at the WWE Performance Center. So you might want to go ahead and check that out if you're into the gaming content. And also, don't forget that NXT Stand and Deliver. I've got a review for the entire show, which took place earlier today. A very good show as well. So on the whole, today was a very good day for WWE. A lot of really good content from them today. It's too bad they can't be more consistent with it. But I did enjoy both shows. Fire Panda, she did the googly characters. Here's my money. Thank you, Fire Panda. One last look at the poll here. Almost 3,000 votes. 84% thumbs up. WrestleMania, 12% thumbs in the middle, and 3.7% thumbs down. Look at John Shaw with the Chris Jericho animation here. John Shaw, thank you for subbing to the channel. Picked up a lot of new subs tonight. I hope you guys enjoy your stay here, and you will be back with me for night two of WrestleMania. Oh, he's okay. We got another super chat here. When I said check Twitter, I tweeted you who Andrew the Giant is by the name. The name is read as GGO. Okay, though that's very helpful because I had no idea. I didn't want to guess how it was pronounced. But GGO, thank you. You might have to remind, just so you know, if you send more of them into the future, you might have to remind me again. But yeah, I have not checked Twitter as I've been on the air here, so. Should I check now? Let me see here. Well, we'll check after. There's way too many replies. So I'll have to go through that after. All right. Well, before we end things here, we do a little something on the stream. It's never too late, right? It's never too late. WWE booked themselves what ended up being a very enjoyable night one of WrestleMania. So we're going to try to do it ourselves. We're going to try to be the booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the booker.
It is time to be the booker, where we book one men's match and one women's match here. These are sort of our WrestleMania main events. These are being done completely at random. We'll start out with the men, see what kind of match that we can book. Maybe we'll get some of that WrestleMania luck. Maybe we'll book a good one. Let's see if WrestleMania luck is on our side. The Tribal Chief, Roman Reigns. Oh, we are off to a fantastic start. One half of tomorrow night's WrestleMania main event. Now all we got to do is pick Brock Lesnar. I know he's in here somewhere. Roman Reigns going one-on-one against Christian Cage. It's a good match. That's a good match. Roman Reigns and Christian Cage. I'd watch that match. I like that match. Let's flip over to the ladies here. We'll give this a shot. Roman Reigns against Christian Cage. That would be a very good match, actually. That would be a very good match. We land on Nyla Rose is the first random selection here in Be the Booker. And we have Nyla Rose one-on-one against Dixie Carter. Look at how sad Dixie looks. Poor Dixie. Poor Dixie. Had her company taken away from her. Nyla Rose against Dixie Carter. Wow. Well, they can't all be winners. They can't all be like Roman Reigns and Christian Cage. I'll take Roman Reigns and Christian Cage over Dixie Carter and Nyla Rose. Rizzo says, is WrestleMania going to be two nights every year now? Is it going to be two nights on a permanent basis? I believe that is the plan. I think the plan is for it to be two nights going forward. So, I mean, look, they could do one night. It could be 7 hours long with 14 matches, and they can sell 80,000 tickets. Or they can do two nights in the same building, spread things out a little bit more so that they're not as long. And instead of selling 80,000 tickets, they can sell 120. Even if it's to the same people. 120,000, 130,000. So I guess, you know, for them, it makes sense to kind of create a whole weekend out of it. I do miss just the old school one night WrestleManias just with the matches that mattered. I do miss that. But I think it's one of those things where once you let the genie out of the bottle, there's no putting the genie back inside. So yeah, I would expect it to be two nights from now on going forward. Got to take a deep breath here. I am going to be up in a few hours to finalize things for episode 750. There will be a brand new podcast going up tomorrow. Tomorrow night, night two of WrestleMania 38 coverage. I hope you guys enjoyed this review and had fun. Leave a like. I hope you'll come on back and join me tomorrow night because we have what they're billing as the biggest main event in WrestleMania history. Between Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns, we're going to have one unified champion, supposedly, when that show is over. And I'll be here to review it all. The good, the bad, the ugly, and everything in between. Hey, Zane says he's a new fan. Welcome, Zane. Hopefully I will see Zane back in the chat tomorrow night. All right, guys. Be well. Stay safe. I'm trying to read the chat here. Dr. Scorpio did send one last message in here. April Fool's was 2 days ago. Dixie Carter says, you never know who's going to pop up and be the booker. I got a lot of very interesting names in that animation. I put that together. So you never know who you're going to land on there in that be the booker animation. All right, guys, I'm out of here. Be well. Stay safe. Have yourselves a fantastic rest of your weekend. And I will see you back here for night two. WrestleMania coverage live on YouTube tomorrow night. Take care, guys.